birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Love you, Joe.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Cole's not here because she's having audio issues, but I've got a whole bunch of friends here because it's my goddamn birthday.
Birthday!
Joining the show this week, we've got Jacob Garner. How are you doing?
I'm alive.
Yay. Yeah, well, you're stealing Cole's line. That's what she said.
Oh, damn it. Wait, does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't listen this early into the show. damn it. Yeah,
it's
I got
the beginning. How do you not listen to the beginning?
Well, because I skip ahead to like, oh, this is where we're talking about the news. Because like, I'm doing tweets and stuff like that. So like, you know, I don't.
Anyway, Grant Henry is here. Grant, how are you doing?
I'm alive.
Hold on. I thought that was
cool. Wait, was that it? Wait, is that the one? Is that Cole's line? We all have to do her line. I'm also filling balloons for your birthday. Digital balloons. We're gonna sell them as NFTs. We're gonna sell digital birthday balloons for Joe's 25th birthday.
Oh my
They're
lord!
They're worth 5 cents each.
Happy birthday, bro.
Then also joining from Mommy's Best Games, Nathan Fouts. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Hey guys, it's Joe's birthday, and we released a game today, so I feel great.
You Boom. Did. Tell us about this game you just released.
It's called Explosionade DX. When life gives you explosions, you make Explosionade. It's a 2D run-and-gun mech game.
And you just blow shit up.
Basically, there is a really silly story that runs through about 60 different levels. They're real short. They only last a couple minutes, but they're basically kind of like almost like a little arenas, each little level. And they're a little bit, it's like the original name for the game was called Take the Base. And so The idea was, what if there's like these smart little tiny aliens that are controlling these little underground bases that they've made of all kinds of different configurations. And you just have to like, crack through them. You got this crazy mech with these giant grenades and a energy shield and a giant machine gun, and you have to figure out the way to solve your way, like blast your way through it. And every little level, every little base has got like multiple paths. And the really cool part is there's metal walls and concrete walls, and your grenades can blow up the concrete walls. So when I say paths, it's kind of loose. Like you just can blow your way
through walls and blast through the levels.
You know, but then you'll run into a concrete or a metal wall, and then you've actually got to go around that. But frequently, you can kind of make your own way kind of through it. And the DX part is deluxe edition because it came out on Xbox Indie Games back in like 2010, long time ago. Shout out to anybody that played it back then,
dude. I played it then, and I want to tell you, I'm a fan. I bought Shoot One Up on the Xbox Live Indie Store. What it was an Xbox Live Indie, like the indie store, right? Like the
First of all, thanks. It was originally called Xbox Live Community Games.
Yes,
a long time ago, and then they changed it over to XBLIG, Xbox Live Indie Games.
Yeah,
and it's been a while. And basically, this is just a cheap money grab. We didn't put any work into it. We just raised the price and, you know, pooped it out onto the store. So anybody that buys it is totally scammed. Sorry, guys.
Sold.
God, wait a minute. That sounds awesome. I want that. We didn't give it a second thought, and we just want to take all your money. And yeah. No, we worked on it for months, actually, and we ported it to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Nintendo Switch, and the best console ever, Xbox One, Series X, and Series S.
Yes, gotta give the shout-out to the Xbox.
Shout-out, man. I will say this.
Where's Cole? She's not here to talk about Xbox for us.
I know. I miss her. Honestly, I don't know if it's Carnage, I don't know if it's you guys, but we are selling great on Xbox compared to Switch.
Oh, that's great.
PlayStation. We're selling fine on the other two, but like Xbox is like almost three times sales. So whoop.
Damn. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to buy like a Tesla truck anytime soon, but or whatever that thing was. What was that box car you made? I'm not going to be able to buy one of those, but you know, at least it's selling. Like, that's great. So yeah, for the, but seriously, other than the money grab, let me just reverse some of that and just say that we worked really hard.
That's concrete. That's set in stone. We're not going back on any of that.
You're just going to delete all this, aren't you?
Yeah, the interview's over. We're just stopping right
here. The interview's over. Kick him off. And let's just talk about the news. So the original game I made in 38 days, which is really cool for how polished it was and how fun it was. But it was me and another guy, and he's a really gifted programmer too. And we went nuts and like made it as fast as we could. We actually went crunched way too hard on it. But looking back on it, it was when I played it now with my kids, like especially in two player mode, we would walk through normal mode on the old version and basically not die. And it was like, okay, you know what I mean? It was fun, but we had fun. And then we play on serious mode, and we would only die near the very, very end of the game. And the original had 40 levels in it. And what would happen is we would actually get stuck on a few levels. And then I was just like, man, now this is fun. You know what I mean? I don't need Super Meat Boy hard, but I like having to reevaluate the level. My favorite thing ever is like running into a level, getting your butt kicked about 3 times in a row, and then just going, okay, I need to come at this with a different angle. You know what I mean? Like literally
re-strategize
re-strategize. And so we put a lot of work into that. There's 60 levels, but that doesn't mean we just added 20. We actually basically redid about 55 levels in the game. There's only a couple that survived. Basically there's a lot of new variety. There's some new enemies, and there's at least 5 or 6 what we could call walls where I would expect players to have trouble on them and then have to re-strategize, you know what I mean? And at least that many. On serious, it gets I'm not saying it's our hardest game ever. It's just a really nice challenge now. It's like super fun to have a blow it up run and gun with a little bit of challenge in it. So it came out really good.
That is awesome. I'm having fun with it. It is a crazy, crazy fun time. Jacob, I know you just got your hands on it for the first time last night. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I fired it up last night. It's pretty fun. Of course, I'm going in on the casual setting, so same. I've only died once. I'm ahead of Carnage on the scoreboard.
Ooh. The gauntlet is thrown down.
But Joe is ahead of me.
Yeah, good.
By like 10,000 points or something like that. And I honestly thought about going back into it last night just so then I could be ahead of Joe, but I didn't. But yeah, like it's tons of fun. I do appreciate how short all the levels are. I don't know. I went in there expecting absolutely nothing because Joe was just like, "Hey, you want to get in on this interview?"
Nice way to put it, Jake.
It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, I'm already gonna be here Thursday night, so why not? So
and Cole's so not here, so now you got to make up for her. No pressure, Jacob.
The funny thing is that my answer, my question that I was going to ask has already been answered. Pretty much just because, like, I played through like 35 of them. 35 or so of the levels, and I was just like, how much longer is this game gonna go on? Because then you said it's about 60, so yeah, I don't know. As I said, I like the bite-sized chunks of it, and it's just I like how you have to really think about how the alien, like how you're gonna kill all the aliens on the levels. I guess,
crushing things.
Yes,
I like just landing on things and crushing them.
Honestly, yeah, that's pretty fun, but also so is the shield mechanic, where it's just like, you know, you jump from a height and then like you could just bounce all over the level. That's pretty fun. I honestly haven't had any complaints about it yet with it. I mean, it's just other than I hate the electricity plates. Those things are a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But that's intentional, so it's yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The bubble shield is basically the innovation in that game. So whenever I like Mommy's Best, whenever we do a game, I always try to put some sort of innovation into the action genre, usually running guns, sometimes shoot 'em ups. And that was my, what I liked about it. Like, basically, I love mech games, but most mech games are really heavy and clunky, and which is kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, we try to get the best of both worlds, where you get to stomp little alien guys with your giant heavy mech, which I think is super fun. But then I threw in this bubble shield mechanic that can let you just fly around the level really fast once you get really good at it. It's easy to use, but then it's also, like, early on, it's easy to kind of get stuck at a really slow speed, like to barely move. And the way to think about it is, it simply preserves your velocity. So if you jump in midair and almost fall and then turn on the shield, you'll kind of just hover and be stuck in midair. But if you jump and then turn it on immediately, you'll fly with that same speed and not lose anything due to gravity. So yeah, you can get bouncing all around with it. Like, I will say, casual mode is very much intended to be a breeze. So if you're feeling like a little meh, like if anybody's playing it and they're feeling like a little bit of whatever, that's meant to be played for casually. Me personally. It's meant to be played at the end of the night when I'm about to, like, I just want to fall asleep. Like, it's really meant to be like a chill out sort of thing. And I do that with other shoot 'em ups, you know, like just like I buy a lot of those arcade games on the PS4 also, and just play some old games on there. And there's some on there that when you play them that you just quarter feed them and just kind of blast them, and it's fun. But the casual mode is meant to not really give anybody any problems. Normal shouldn't be too hard. And then serious gets a little tougher. The main challenge in the game that personally I like to play, you know, when I'm really getting into it, is the all clear modes.
What are those modes? Tell us about those.
So it's not so much a mode. I know I said that, but basically what happens is if you beat a level and kill all the enemies in it, you'll get an all clear, and it's marked that way. And so if you go on the options on the menus system, it'll say practice. As soon as you've reached a level, like say you said you got to level 35.
Thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. In the practice menu, you now have access to the casual, the chilled mode, normal, and serious. Whatever level you get to in the story mode, that's unlocked all the way to that point, and you can go back and play it. And the point of that is, you can now actually get an all clear in those levels anytime you feel like. And if you, what's fun is basically just cleaning out the game. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't originally, like, it was, there's achievements, by the way, there's achievements and trophies tied to each all clear for chilled, normal, and hard, or in serious mode. And originally that was like stuck inside the story mode. And so you would have to, like, it was ridiculous and not fun. It was like a slog. Like, you'd have to get the all clears as you proceeded. And to me, that's like, it's fun to just, like, blast through the levels as fast as you can, just for, you know, whatever. And then, you know, occasionally you'll be like, you know what, I really want to bear down on this. And then you go back, and then when you try to all clear some of the harder levels, they get really tough. It's fun. I mean, they're like more like a puzzle at that point. So
yeah, I gotta play on the harder difficulties. I
get up to serious, man. Like, you won't die for like 15 levels on serious, for real. It's a piece of cake.
I like the difficulty that you described, where you go into a level and it takes like two or three deaths to assess what you need to do, and then you're good, right? Then you can kind of work through it and keep going. That's about as hard as I like it, you know.
I mean, so I would personally, if I were you guys played a whole bunch of retro games, just put it on serious mode, and you probably won't die for a long time, and then it'll start to get hard about like midway through, like, you know, kind of hard. But
it's a gentle difficulty curve.
It's always been an easy game, and now it's slightly harder, basically. but I will say the serious mode for all clears is when it gets actually really tough. And personally, I think those are super fun, because those will take you, like, the hardest ones of those will take like 10 or 15 tries to figure them out, because you basically have to strategize how to kill some of the enemies. So you can't, you know what I mean? Like, blasting your way through is one thing. And now, so even on serious mode, you can just rocket through the level as fast as you want. Like, as fast as you can. So,
the fun is in destroying everything.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like, you know, yeah, you don't have to take it that seriously. And that's why it's fun to blast through it. And also, okay, so the way it sort of works is you have infinite lives. And so even in serious mode, you've got infinite lives. You can, you know, hit a wall in a level there. And then when you come back in, you'll have full health. The trick is it takes away your score.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a run from level zero, you know, 1 to 35 in casual in chilled mode, your score is pretty good. But if you died and quit and then came back in and start from level 35, you'll have full health, but your score is zero now. So
the if people you're going that are on score chasing, you want to start at the beginning each time.
Basically, once you play through it and you get, you know, good at it, like you get really good at the bubble shield, like you just start at the beginning and rock it through it, and it takes like maybe an hour to finish the whole game, maybe 45 minutes or something. But building up that score is the key, like to those kind of really high leaderboards later on.
Do you have any kind of speedrun achievement in the game?
I want to say not for the whole game. I think though we did some faster level achievements. I want to say something like that.
You have leaderboards though, right?
Oh yeah, we got online leaderboards for all difficulties.
Right.
That's cool. It's fun. Like I just love that little bit of community you get, you know what I mean, from a smaller game where it's not like millions of people. You know what I mean? And then you can kind of start to fight with people on there and try to get on top, you know, on top.
You can see your friends really and take them out.
Exactly. This game's really weird though, because right, like most games, you will when you die, the game's over and you got your score and you went on the leaderboard. You could actually play through this game, die in level 20, but then beat the last 40 levels and get on the leaderboard with a really good score, if that makes sense. Like if you didn't die for the last section, you know what I mean? Like yeah. it can keep going if you want it to, or you can reset it and play it like a traditional kind of thing. So the score is just sort of floating out there. For however many levels you can beat in a row, you're going to probably get a better score.
So get good.
Get good. And it's got 2-player co-op.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's what I want to do, is get jam with some multiplayer. The I saw videos of the game in action and jumped in and was like, oh, twin stick. Like my brother and I eat twin stick for dinner. It's like our favorite thing. That's so awesome. I thought it would be more like I was expecting perhaps more like a Contra side scrolling beginning to end level. You know, got to jump to shoot and shoot forward kind of thing. This is way more. I love the digestible. You can choose to see everything on screen at once or not. And then you're just sort of clearing things out. It feels really good. So, nice. And I like the bullet speed, like the enemies, it's almost like it can turn into sort of a small bullet hell puzzle. You're not dealing with like, you know, crazy fast projectiles and trying to be nimble. It lets you actually strategize, which I think is cool. It has a nice feel. You feel like a mech, but you don't, like you said, you don't feel lumbering and slow, and you don't get hung up on stuff.
The bullet speed, like, there was intentional. They do get harder for each mode, like for serious or whatever difficulty. But what's really fun is there's little homing missiles. And the homing missiles actually, on the first hit, they don't blow up. So they actually activate. And so what's really cool is a homing missile will actually bounce off your mech, not hurt you, and then turn around and try to blow you up. So there's a lot of forgiveness in the game once you start to notice like little details like that. You can actually shoot the missiles out of the air. You can shoot grenades out of the air. So with your machine gun or with the grenade launcher. So there's, like I said, there's a lot of range in there that... You're kind of given some leeway, but then like the harder stuff can really rock you. Like the laser dudes, there's some laser guys later in the game that kind of are mean. They're pretty tough.
Yeah. One of the first achievements I got in the game was the trap shooter for shooting 3 grenades out of the air. But I enjoy fun stuff like that.
I should have made that like 10 or something. I wasn't thinking, I thought it was just fun and people are getting it like immediately. I'm glad you got it though. The one other thing I'll say about 2-player, because I've got 2 young boys and we've been playing it a lot and testing it, and it's a blast. In 2-player, you will grief the crap out of your brother. It's just like,
yeah,
it's so fun. Because what happens is your bubble shields bounce each other.
Oh, no.
You can grief him into things just to be a jerk. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's the worst. And I give you, I give points based on the first out. So whoever can lead the level first gets points, and really it's just bragging rights, but it feels really good. And then the other thing you get that's really fun, and then you just start like screaming about it, is you'll get an all clear, but only whoever's in the room. So you can like go out first, but then somebody might hang around and try to get all clear, and then, you know, maybe they'll be up on points for that.
Oh, can you? Is there like a timer when someone leaves before you have to get out of the room? Like, do you have?
No, there's
really
actually, there's no timer, and so that's cool. That's another like really obvious griefing point where they can just take their time and just be the worst ever. It's awful. You really get mad at them for that. They'll just hang out in the room. So, and you just start screaming at them to leave. So, but the fun part is you can actually accidentally bounce each other out of the room, and then the other person will go for the all clear to get more points.
Oh, yeah.
So
I love it.
And there's gold in the room that you can like, everybody can try to get to first. And the MBG pies are worth even more points. Whoever can get to those first, and you get health from those. So there's a lot of, co-op grief that can happen. So
what all is the gold for? Just points?
It gives you back health too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wait, didn't you read like the tutorial stuff?
No. I'm asking questions to get the answers on the show, Jacob. I'm trying to, you know, ask questions related to the game and get information using an interview.
It actually reduces though based on the difficulty. So I believe on chilled you get full health back no matter, you know, for any gold. And then normal mode's like four bits of health, and then serious mode's only like two. And you have eight, you know, blips of health, basically little touches, eight hits you can get. So it can get pretty dicey with serious mode where you're down to like one more hit and you pick up everything of gold, but you've only got, you know, three hits total now. It's pretty tough that way. So
I noticed that was another achievement to get down to like one health and then heal up.
Yeah, that's right.
So is Mommy's Best a one man show? Like, do you have like a small team that you've worked with, or what's the story there? Do you do all the art and coding and everything, or what's the crew look like?
A motley crew. I do design, art, programming, sound effects. I got a buddy that does the music. The rock and roll music's awesome in there. Mm-hmm. And then more recently, I work with a group out of nearby Kentucky, and they help do the ports.
Oh, so cool.
They're called Super Soul. It's just a couple of guys over there, but they're really nice, and they're good at Unity. And so that's where it really helped, like, to get it on PlayStation 4, you know, the Switch, and then the PlayStation 5. Like, we don't own a PlayStation 5 or a dev kit or anything. It's so awesome.
Oh, that is
seriously
awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of amazing that it still works, and I love that. And that's exactly why we use an underlying, you know, portable game engine like that. Somebody else, you know, did all the work, made it work on the PlayStation, and then thankfully Sony let us submit to it. I didn't actually say I don't have a dev kit. I assume they know that. You know what I mean? But and sadly, surprise. I don't have a PlayStation 5. Yeah, but I've had reports it showed up, and then people own it there. So
wow.
And that's confusing, because people ask, they can I buy it on the PlayStation 5, and I'm like, sure, try. Why don't
maybe
you
tell me? You tell me.
Yeah, can you? I don't know. So.
No, I mean, that's where you want to be. There aren't a ton of games to get on there. I mean, like, other than just legacy stuff, right? It's cool. That's cool to get on there.
It's like the post-launch lull for everything right now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's a classic move, right? There's like eight games out or something, and then it sits for a long time on a long console launch. What was exclusive on PS5 at launch? Anything?
Demon's Souls.
The Spider-Man. Right,
well, Spider-Man was on PS4 as well.
Oh, see, they blew that. Was there anything other than Demon's Souls then?
Godfall. What's the eat the bugs game?
Bug snacks.
Bug snacks.
Really? Wasn't that PS5 only?
Yeah.
I thought that PS4 as well.
No, was it on PS4?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's PS4. It's got it.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Well, there you go.
I think the freebie was PS5 only, but there is a PS4 version.
Okay.
Huh. I don't know. I just don't feel like there was much exclusive. Right, like if compared to past console launches, I feel like there's
they're basically the same consoles anymore, that they have the same library, so new stuff, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it stands out as much anymore.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. It does keep me from buying it a little sooner, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
if there's not as much
I got mine stuff. I'm sitting on mine, so
yeah
I like my Series X more. Is there going to be a Series X specific version for the game? Like, there's a PS5 version. Is there any difference between the PS4 and PS5 versions?
Nope. Not a bit. I'll keep that a secret, by the way. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, I won't say
anything. Is that what you told us here on this podcast?
Because exactly. No one will hear. Secret is safe on here.
I'm sorry, John. No, it's, in as much as there's a lot of exclusive content to the PlayStation 5 version, there's a ton of exclusive content to the Series X version. Yeah. No, they're identical. But to be honest, I think that's awesome personally, like that Microsoft works that way, that they let us do that. You know, it's another great thing that we got to launch on the Series X with Explosion 8 DX and Shoot 1 Up DX. The other thing that I like Microsoft even more for is the fact that we launched worldwide. Like, you know, Japanese players are playing the game. That's super
awesome.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of indies don't get to do that.
It's great. Yeah, I love that option exists on Xbox. I can't talk about it enough because you know, especially for a game like ours that the text doesn't matter as much, like players can kind of get it. So it's not localized in Japanese, but we still get players over there. Mm. And so, you know, on the PlayStation, I have not done that yet. Like, it's a big deal to launch in Japan on PlayStation. So, and Nintendo, for that matter, it's like more work over there. So I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. So. Work is, I don't like doing work either.
I mean,
Carnage is saying to make a Series X stack version of the game with more achievements because he's a dick like that.
What? What is, like, can I do achievements? Are there games with achievements exclusive to Series X?
There are some, yeah.
Really? Okay. I don't know.
I think so. I know there's separate lists between PC and console. I think the only ones that have separate lists on Xbox One and Series X are the ones that you have to buy separately.
Hmm.
Which I'm not a fan of that there's, like...
Yeah. I would love it if it just opened up. Like, yeah. Like if you bought it on the old, what are we calling the old Xbox? Is it the Series S? Xbox One. Thank you. Whatever the Xbox One, I would love it if you bought it there or bought it on Series X and it didn't matter, but you got like 20 extra achievements on Series X. I'd be down for that. Honestly, I mean, like, it'd be a little bit of work, but like, we could look into that, you know.
I'm just going to put this out there. I mean, Carnage's comment kind of sounds like, you know, something that a guy who is 10th place on the leaderboards would say.
I could talk to Microsoft and see if they'll give us $1 billion to do that.
There you go. Look at you. I'm sure that'll work.
$1 billion. Yeah.
So what is up next for Mommy's Best Games? What are you working on next?
We are working on the very secret game that the very spooky game. It's not a spooky game. I can say it's not a horror game.
can you just release it as that? The very spooky game.
I would love to. You don't know how much I'd love to make a game called the very spooky game. Can we get who did that that game on PlayStation that was like that demo game of a
horror? Oh, PT.
Can we get? We get him on a game called that, the very spooky game. Oh, it would still sell great.
Just call it like TP and
TP.
You know, TP. Haunted toilet paper. You know,
yeah.
Physics.
Yeah, working on basically my next game, and it's all secret. And I'm just trying to sort out, like, when you do a launch now, you got to get your ducks in a row, and or you won't get enough attention. And so I'm trying to plan out when that's going to be. Like announcement stuff, it's going to be way down the line. But we're also working on the next and final DX game, which is Weapon of Choice DX. Yep. It's another run and gun with a twist, and that'll be out in X number of months. I don't know, several months.
Yes. What was the order of games? I can't remember. There's a blur between Weapon of Choice this and the Serious Sam stuff you did. I can't remember what came out. Like, what was the last in the list there?
Oh, so on Xbox Live Indie Games, I did Weapon of Choice in 2008. I did Shoot One Up in 2010 and Explosion 8 in 2010. It was nuts. And I did Game Type And I think that was in 2010 as well. Actually, that might have came out in 2011. So I did four games. And the real thing is, when we looked at it, the game type game, which was more of a weird like protest game. It was a score shoot 'em up kind of game, but it was kind of like a weird protest game as well about the Xbox dashboard. And we got attention for it. And honestly, that game actually did help change how Xbox did their dashboard at the time.
Huh.
Yeah, they, for real, people listened, like internally listened to it, and you know, saw the people angry about it. We got stories on Eurogamer and on like all over the place at the time. And so they kind of changed their dashboard because it was so bad back then. But that game didn't translate. It didn't make sense to release it now. Mm. So yeah,
it was a commentary on the dashboard or something. What? Yeah. I don't know about that one.
Okay. So listen, I sell it on Steam as it, for real. And it makes even less sense on Steam, but I like it, as a historical kind of piece. And there is an explanation in the game, like that takes you through what happened and why. You can read about it inside the game, and then you can get the like experience the game, because the game is a pretend joke version of exactly how the old dashboard used to work, and it is exactly as bad as it is in that game that I made. And then if you can find your way to the game inside the game,
you get
to play a shoot 'em up. But the really fun part about it, you should look it up. Look on Steam. You can buy it for cheap. I don't know. It's like $3 or $4. It's called Game Type. And what's so cool is the dashboard at the time, you guys, whoever wasn't there is going to think we're faking it. We'll just have to show everybody a video or something. It was really that bad. And it really was that full of ads and non-game material. It, honest to goodness, was exactly as bad as it looks. So we actually, there's fake ads that we had a lot of fun making. And then the really cool part, the game twists, and when you actually get to play the proper game inside it, it's a shoot 'em up where you fight the ads.
Oh, that's good.
I was so angry at the ads at the time because it was just terrible. They had music videos. They had like DVD crap. They had ads everywhere. They had all kinds of stuff. And you could only find the games under a tile called Game Type. And it was hidden, basically. And that lasted about 3 months or so before they finally changed it. They were doing dashboard iterations every 3 months. And that iteration was the complete straw that broke the camel's back. When you play it, when you were there, like playing on their dashboard, it was the most ads I've ever seen in a game system before. And I think actually to this day, you know, as bad as, you know, I know we're used to like one ad hovering on like a mobile game or something. This was incredible. So,
well, linked it in chat if people want to check it out. It's $2.99 on Steam.
$2.99. There you go. I'll put it on sale. You know, that's actually pretty, I don't know if it's on sale right now. $2.99. It's cheap. The actual game is really fun. It's a single level score looping game. It's, kind of like, there's an old style game called a caravan shooter where you basically just play for a few minutes and try to get a high score. It's that. But it's just fun, like as a historical thing too. So Game Type.
I remember there was a window of time where they just kept burying the indie games further and further away from the dashboard until eventually it just sort of vaporized and the whole service ended. But it was frustrating to watch it happen.
Yeah, it was really bad. There was real games in there too, though. There was XBLA games under that tile. It wasn't just indie games. It was nuts.
Weird.
Yeah, this is the worst. Anyway. That's what I'm up to. We're going to do Weapon of Choice DX pretty soon.
So. Nice. Any release window that we could expect on that? Like later on this year, next year?
Oh, definitely. This year, 3 or 4 months. And the reason I say that is just to like make sure we give it a little time and get through the certification stuff. The game's actually done and cooking, like frame rate's awesome. So if anybody played the old version, the frame rate's much better now. It's cool. It's kind of like Shadow of the Colossus. PS2 versus like a redo. I mean, you know, like Shadow of the Colossus frame rate was worse than ours actually, but at least, you know, it used to be like 30, now it's like 60. So
yeah, I get that. Awesome. Buttery smooth 60 frames.
It's nice to see, man. Yeah, it's 60 is great. I don't know. Do you guys remember how people would like say, "Oh, I don't know, I can't tell the difference between 30 and 60." They're crazy, yeah. Right?
I stopped talking to those people.
That's insane. Like, you can 100% tell the difference between 30 and 60.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, maybe 120, 240, maybe you can't, I don't know, you can't tell the difference there, but like 30 and 60, you can 100% tell the difference. And, you know, 55, maybe, you know, 50, 55, 60, it's close, but 30, 60, it's great when it's 60.
A friend of my brother's just got his first PC that can play a game. It's got a 1060 in it. And he, so he's playing these games that he had, I guess he owned them on Xbox, and was just downloading them, or he had, I don't know if he had Game Pass, but he was getting games to try on the PC and was like, I had no idea. I was like, I had no idea it could be this smooth, you know, these shooters and stuff. But yeah, it's makes a big difference.
I love it.
Oh man. Yeah, I did want to address something before we let you go, Nathan. I know it's been a while that you've been on here. You and Grant sound so much alike. I wanted to make sure you were different people.
That's right. It was Nathan who you were saying I sounded like.
Okay.
Hi, Nathan. Go by shoot one up.
I'm Grant. Okay. But I like when we do the other person's voice, we put on a weird accent for it.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Nathan. Yeah,
hi, I'm Grant. Yeah, definitely same person.
Yep, that's us.
Yeah, I had to make sure you were different people. I was confused for a second.
It's
Carnage agrees that you sound similar in chat, so it's not just me. I'm not crazy.
It's good to meet my vocal ganger.
Vocal ganger.
Vocal ganger, what's up?
60 frames per second for life, vocal ganger.
That's right. We'll die on that hill. Okay,
I'll
guys.
I also say, you're really pricing these games right. Like, I feel like a lot of people, for people listening, I mean, all these DX releases are $5.99. I don't know if it's going to be different for Weapon of Choice, but you know, people I think get, especially for, there was a window there where people had dollar signs in their eyes around the success of the Switch, and they're just porting their PC stuff over without touching anything and charging twice as much. And it's great to find a deal on the Switch. And so these are really, like, it's just worth going and getting all the mommy's games, like, because they're not expensive and they're fun.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, we try to put extra work into them, make them really good. And I just, it's like, you know, you like your catalog of work. I just want it to be good. And it, like, once you put it out and you kind of walk away from it, I want it to hold up. Yeah. And so we put a little extra work in it. And to me, you know, I don't know, I was happy with $6. It, like, it seems good. And they're not long games, so there's that. You know, like, you know, an hour,
I mean,
or two.
60,
like,
levels is pretty friggin' long.
Well, Explosion 8 DX is bigger than Shoot 1 Up DX. But also, to me, anybody that complains about the length of a shoot 'em up, just walk off. Go to another game. Like, it's not your game then, man. Like,
yeah, shoot 'em ups are just short.
Yeah. And they can be, you know, very short usually. And that's the way that one was designed. And I'm fine with that. Personally, I love to play a shooter. Anybody's that, and it's 20 minutes and I did something and it's fun, you know, and then I might, you know, maybe I'll play it a few other times. So anyway, yeah, it's a balance on the price. It was a little bit of, they're like cheaper on Steam by like a dollar or two. And it was work for us to do this extra work, and the console stuff's a pain. So that's the only reason why we bumped up the price a little more.
But only a little though. I mean, some people just gouge, you know?
Like, yeah, that's exactly what it just felt like that. If we were going to go for like $8 or $9 versus the Steam, I don't even know. Like, that seems crazy to me. So, I don't know. I who knows what everybody else does, and if everybody gets value out of it, whatever other games they're buying, then more power to them. But that just worked out here. So yeah, for Weapon of Choice, we're going to do $6 as well, $5.99. So
nice.
And then my next game will be $19.99. It'll be $100.
Nice. So,
you know, my next giant game. No, I have no idea.
$100. Setting a new trend. Like, yeah, Take-Two wants to do $70 games. Fuck you! I'm doing $100.
Right.
I heard an extra 99 in there. I think he's charging $10,000 for this game.
$10,000.
Well, so listen, anybody out there that wants to NFT one of my games, I will make you a game for, what did it go for? $10 million? What was that one guy's thing? $50 million? $5 million? What was that one that Beeple did? Like, didn't it get like $5 or $50 million?
Oh, I don't know.
It was the very first one, the very first NFT, and it went for a piece of artwork.
Oh, the art, the collage art, or the whatever.
Collage art.
Yeah, I can't remember how. I can't remember.
Okay, so whatever that number was, if it was $50 million, I will make anyone a game. Then it'll take about an hour to beat the game, by the way, and I will make that game for you, and you'll be the only one that owns it. So we can do that
for $50 million. That's a bargain.
It's like the modern version of the what was the album? Who made the album?
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang made the one record that doofus bought for $1 million.
Martin Shkreli,
the drug guy. Yeah.
And is it only one copy?
Yeah. One copy. I don't know if he chose to put it up or not. I can't remember. I didn't follow that because he sucks. But yeah. Anyway. There you go.
I'm kind of down for that. I will do that for, I don't know what, $50 million. That would be fun to find that price, you know, $10
million. If I remember correctly, there was a chance that the government was going to be able to seize it, and then you'd be able to put in a Freedom of Information Act. And then technically, lawyers were like, technically, this is how you'd be able to get it.
The Wu-Tang album. Oh, God.
And then the government would have to provide you a CD of it. So
interesting.
Well, let's hope the government seizes it, and then we can all get some fresh Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang is for the kids, right? All right. Well, Nathan, give us all the information. Where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing? Give us all the info.
So I'm Mommy's Best Games on Twitter, Mommy's Best Games on Facebook, and you can go to mommy'sbestgames.com. I don't TikTok and I don't Instagram, but let me know. I don't know about Discord. Like, I use it, but do we need a Mommy's Best Discord? I just don't want to babysit people. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to do.
That's so why I don't have one. A Discord. Because
I don't know if I should start one or not. It's like
Discord is the new forums. So if you want forums now,
right. Forums.
You're not getting a PHBBB. You're getting a Discord.
Discord. So let me ask you this, Brain Trust. So if we did Mommy's, you know, I see a lot of people that do a Discord for a game, and then it's like six little sub forums for that game, and they're all like ghost towns in most of those things. It's cute to have the so what if I did? Does anyone do a company Discord? Like for
Sticky Lock does.
Yes,
Sticky Lock. Okay.
Yes, the team I work for mostly has a company Discord, and then they have channels for their games. So.
Okay.
Yeah, which is that, way right? Makes more sense. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That, and then people can chat about what they want. If, you know, one game will have way more activity than others, but yeah. That's what I would do.
I mean, I'm just scared no one's going to be there. It's like, Discord to me feels like you're hosting a party and you're just like, no one's showing up and you're just hanging out with the chips and you keep like refreshing your drink. And then like one person comes by and they talk to you for a while and you're like, this is awesome. And then they leave and you're just like, do I have to keep the lights on? What's going on? Yeah, sorry.
That's how I feel, though. I feel the same exact way about Discord. People are like, oh, why isn't there an SML podcast Discord? Like, no one listens to the show. Who the fuck's going to go to the Discord?
I know. I've got enough things to check every day. That's I know why this is grumpy old man talk, but I just feel so bad about, like, digital stuff to check. And so I'm just like, I don't know, guys.
I think the attitude is, you know, it sort of came from, I'm guessing here. Forums. But it came from forums, right? And then social media happened, so all the forums died. And now there's so much of it, and a lot of it is rich media. It just feels like getting blasted with a fire hose, right? All the time. Oh, yeah. So people have sort of retreated into communities that are a bit more even more focused than Reddit, which I've never really been a Reddit person, but I know like how it works.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like it's so specific to my games. That's why I've never had a forums. You know what I mean? I tried it for a little while and it was okay. But it's just kind of like, I'll see. I just feel bad. Like I'm letting people down. If I do, it's kind of like having a party and then not showing up. Like I don't want to show up to the party too often. Like I'll have the forums, the Discord, and check it once, you know, every couple of days. I don't know. So I feel like I won't make games if I hang out there too long and talk to people.
Rupert's My Jam is saying the ultimate chicken horse Discord is awesome. So there's good Discords out there, I guess. So Mommy's Best Discord.
Yeah.
Mommy's Best Discord.
Mommy's Best Discord. Yes. I don't know what that means. I wonder if I could only hijack one of the threads on Ultimate Chicken Horse's Discord and just like hide inside there, and then we could all go hang out there and like, talk about Mommy's Best Games. Anyway, but then the mods will help over there too. Anyway, okay, I'll think about it. Maybe with Weapon of Choice, we'll do a Discord. You know, we'll like launch a Discord for Mommy's Best.
Here you go. I'll join it. I'll hang out with you.
Thanks, man. Well, that's it. You don't have to hang out with me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to take up anybody else's time.
Well, wait. You said you were bringing chips.
Yeah, I'm there if it's chips.
There'll be chips. Okay, listen. There'll be chips and probably some like cranberry Sprite. Like cherry Sprite. I'll probably have some cherry Sprite. And maybe like a... Maybe like the cheese, but I'm going to keep it in the glass jar because I want to put the lid back on it, okay?
That makes sense. That's fair.
Fine.
There's no double dipping.
No double dipping, but I'm not pouring it out in a bowl, okay? I don't know. We may heat it up. We'll see. But we'll have the cherry Sprite. It'll be awesome. Or 7-Up, whatever one they make. All right, guys. It's been awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. It was a blast having you here. We will let you get going. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
We had Pi Day 3.14. I made an apple pie. I made it on the 316. So hopefully the math gods won't be angry with me, but, it was excellent. So let's eat some more pie.
I'm going to have some birthday cake later. So
birthday
that's
cake.
Close
Happy
enough.
Birthday, Joe. Yeah, dude. I hope it's awesome. I appreciate you having me on tonight. It's awesome.
All right. Take care, Nathan.
All right. See y'all. Bye.
Later, Nathan.
Oh, so Grant, you going to stick around for news or did you want to get going too?
No, I'll hang out for news. I just want some snacky foods now. I'm like all about some orange soda and some Cheetos. Like I want some party foods right now, but I have nothing. So I'll just keep talking about it
instead. Yeah, now I'm hungry. You're making me hungry.
That's the news. That's the first bit of news.
Yeah, the first bit of news. I am hungry. Don't have any food. I have Mellow Yellow, but that's it.
Yeah. That's party drink.
Oh, man. No, the big news, we will dive into the news. The big news of the week is obviously all the Game Pass additions because holy shit, Game Pass.
Why, did something happen?
Oh, no, nothing at all. No,
okay, that's what I thought.
So, March 16th, we got Undertale launched direct to Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Woo. March 18th, we got Empire of Sin, Nier Automata on PC Game Pass, Torchlight 3 on PC Game Pass, and Star Wars Squadrons on console.
Oh, wow.
And apparently the Nier Automata PC version is an enhanced, updated version of the one that's on Steam, so there's like a lot of bug fixes and shit like that.
That's very cool.
So, yeah,
I heard. Cool. I read something that because apparently the old PC version was not so great, which is too bad because that game needs to be fast.
Yeah. March 25th, next week, we are getting Genesis Noir launching direct to console and PC. Yakuza 6 launching direct. PC is getting Superland and Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. And then fucking Octopath Traveler is releasing to Xbox Game Pass on console and PC. Fucking, like, I didn't see this coming to Xbox at all. And now it's launching direct to Game Pass.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Love Game Pass. March 30th, Narita Boy is going to be launching direct to Game Pass. And then April 1st, Outriders is launching direct to Game Pass. Yeah.
I didn't realize Outriders was.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for them.
Huh. Yeah. Day one, launching right on Game Pass.
I feel like this is like, that's a lot of games, right? And I mean, yeah. This is coming just after the Bethesda stuff.
Yeah. And even crazier today, March 18th, PC Game Pass got EA Play, so there's like another 60 games.
Really?
Yeah.
My brother just got PC Game Pass to play with some buddies, and I was thinking about taking a look because they've always had, the libraries are a bit different, but it's mostly the same stuff. But there's some stuff I want to try that I don't want to pay full price for.
Yeah,
I don't have to.
Game Pass is life. And then there's rumors that Persona 5 might be coming to Game Pass via Xbox.
Jeez.
How I would love that, to see Persona 5 make the jump over to Xbox Game Pass. That would be nuts.
That is crazy. I have a question, Joe.
Yes.
Or Jacob, if you know. I'm not as familiar. I don't have an Xbox. I want a Series X, actually, but I don't have one. I'm curious to know if you find they are adding more than they are taking away. Like, do you feel like the list of the announced games to remove over the course of 2 weeks is less than this? Like, does the total number of games seem to be about the same?
Leaving Game Pass, I was just going to get to that. Leaving Game Pass on March 31st, only 3 games.
Really? Interesting. Yeah.
Hyperdot on console and PC, Journey to the Savage Planet on console, and Machinarium on PC.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get more departures than arrivals, but lately they've just been killing it, especially when you factor in EA Play and the Bethesda motherload of 20 games that hit. And now the most recent addition with Octopath and Yakuza and Genesis Noir and fucking Outriders and Undertale. Like, holy shit. How much more worthwhile is Game Pass going to get?
Yeah.
It is just crazy.
It is crazy.
And then we mentioned the Bethesda titles. They announced 5 of the Bethesda titles got FPS boost updates. So if you have the game on Series X, they will have the option to bump up the frames per second to 60. And that is for Dishonored Definitive Edition, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Prey, and Skyrim Special Edition. So you could get your 60 frames on those games.
Mm, rad. I love that feature.
Yeah, not to be outdone, Sony themselves are announcing more games for their Play at Home campaign. This is the one that Ratchet and Clank is a freebie right now, where it's free. There's no strings attached. You just go on the website, you claim it, and you own Ratchet and Clank. And on March 25th, they are dropping 9 indies for free.
9?
That's 9.
It's not just like the regular PlayStation Plus
free stuff? No, this is their Play at Home campaign. They're all completely free. There's no PlayStation Plus requirement. There's no membership. There's nothing. These are just free games. And it's Abzu, Enter the Gungeon, Res Infinite, Subnautica, The Witness. And then for PlayStation VR, they're doing Astrobot Rescue Mission, Moss, Thumper, and Paper Beast.
Man.
Yeah.
Free.
I'm pretty stoked about that, even though I don't own a PlayStation. I mean, I have my account, so on the off chance I one day get a PS4 or PS5,
you'll have games waiting for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then on April 19th, they're giving away Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition.
That's crazy.
With all the DLC.
You know, I never bought that. I never gave it a try, so this will be the reason I do.
Well, April 19th, it's yours for free.
Man, wow.
Yeah, and Root Beer is my jam, okay. Is saying you don't need a PlayStation. Just go on the website. You could do it.
Yeah, just claim it, I guess.
Yep.
Save it for later.
Good back shit. Pocket.
Man, what's going on?
2K Games has purchased HB Studios, the creators of the Golf Club franchise and PGA 2K21. And they have also signed Tiger Woods to their brand.
Gotcha.
So Tiger is back in the video game golf scene.
Well, how long has that been?
Been a couple years. Been a good time.
Like 10 years? I don't know. I don't pay attention to the golf games much, but has it been?
I want to say 2013 was the last one with Tiger.
Okay.
Come on. Oh, they don't say. That's weird. Oh, yeah, 2013. Yeah, you're right.
2013. Wow. Man, good stuff. The PlayStation Communities feature for the PS4 is going to be shutting down in April. So if you use the communities on PS4, they're going away.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Most people didn't.
Go spam it up. Go crazy.
I honestly had never heard of it until they announced it was going away.
Yeah.
Something tells me the shutting this down will not be as exciting as the PlayStation Home shutdown was. We're like, everyone kind of, it was just sort of a big block party, you know what I mean? In PlayStation Home before the servers literally went offline at midnight or whatever, which I think there's some great videos of that. This may not be quite as, may not be fireworks at this one. I don't know.
There's going to be like 4 people. I'll miss you.
Yeah, I know. Bye. Never see you again.
Some game announcements. Super Bomberman R Online will be hitting Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC as a free-to-play title. Was originally a Stadia title, and it features 64-player Battle Royale Bomberman.
Oh, wow. What does it look like? Does it look like a regular top-down Bomberman?
Yeah, in 3D, thing? Though.
In 3D, okay.
Yeah. But still, 64-player and free-to-play? That sounds like it could be fun.
Could be fun.
Team 17 announced that Worms Rumble will be hitting Xbox One, Series X, and Switch later this year after the PS exclusivity deal ends. They have also announced that they have fully acquired the rights and assets for the Golf With Your Friends property. So that is now fully owned by Team 17.
Golf With Your Friends, what is that?
It's mini golf online.
It's mini golf. Okay.
With your friends.
Yeah. It's with golf, with your friends.
With other people.
Yeah.
They could be strangers, but it's really supposed to be friends.
Golf with strangers isn't as attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be if you're into that kind of shit.
Yeah. Golf with weird people.
Golf with weird people.
Name. That's a great name.
Golf with weirdos.
I feel like we'd get a lawsuit for, you know, making a game like Golf with Weirdos.
Yeah, Golf with Creepers.
Yeah. Minecraft will come after us for that one. Golf with Creepers. By the way, Golf with Your Friends, available on Game Pass.
There you go.
So there you go for that one. They announced Scarlet Nexus is going to be releasing June 25th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Steam. So if you've been looking forward to Scarlet Nexus, that is just around the corner. And then the last bit of news I have is that Sony Interactive purchased, drumroll, EVO, the fighting game competition, Evolution Championship Series. Sony just bought EVO.
Weird. Wait.
Yeah.
So does that mean, like, are they going to be... Like, so does that mean, like, Killer Instinct is now, like, gone from EVO, or...
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to focus just on PlayStation franchises, or if they'll keep it open to other companies as well, because EVO without, like, Smash Brothers just seems weird.
Right, or, yes.
Or Killer Instinct, or, yeah.
Or any other old arcade thing that might show up. That's, yeah. Maybe they'll just let it continue to run as EVO, and they just, you know...
They hands off. The who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that, but at the same time, I'm sure EVO was hurting for money. So
no,
that's an easy solution. You just no more Smash Brothers. They just play that PlayStation All Stars game from the PlayStation 3.
Yeah,
that's it. Everyone learn how to play that.
I like that game. It's a shame it never caught on. Oh well, that's the news I have. Jacob, what kind of news bits do you have? Because I know you always have something.
Well, the controversial Taiwanese horror game Devotion is back available for sale. It had been removed from Steam back in 2019 because it upset Chinese gamers with a Winnie the Pooh joke, which was directed at their prime minister. Mm. And so it ended up getting taken off of pretty much everywhere. But now it's available for sale up on their... up on Red Candle Games website. So, and it's DRM free. So, you know, in case you want to finally be able to play it. However, the physical edition seems to have been canceled. So,
did they take that out or is it in?
That's a good question. The article doesn't say whether it's still in there.
Mm.
Or at least the art. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they did take it out. Maybe they didn't. So you'll have to buy it to find out.
Oh, there's the tease.
Or you just wait for some other poor bastard to buy it. So anyway, Rockstar paid out $10,000 to one of their fans who put together a patch that would fix the loading times in GTA Online.
Oh, that's I actually did have that written down and I forgot to read it. They dug into the game code and discovered a bottleneck in the performance.
So cool. Yeah.
And so it fixed loading time by 70% and it's now an official patch.
Like 70 is huge, you know? That's just incredible. That's quite the bottleneck. So give that kid. How about give him $20,000?
I know. I was
you're doing okay.
When they said that, I was just like, Jesus! You guys better have thrown in like some major merch for that guy. Like $10,000 is like nothing, especially with how much they make off of all their games.
You got a shark card too. real quick, Root Beer's My Jam is saying Disco Elysium, the final cut, will be hitting PS4 and PS5 with voice acting and extra content on March 30th. And then I know they said it's supposed to be hitting, I think, Xbox and Switch later in the year.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting on the Switch version, but I need to look at the game more. Games like Diablo really hard to read stuff. They don't optimize for the screen size of Switch, so I'm curious to know how Disco is going to look. It's a pretty text heavy game, but I've been waiting to play Disco for that. But maybe I'll just get it on PS4.
What else, Jacob?
Activision Blizzard fired about 190 people, or about 2% of their total workforce. Most of it has to do with esports and programming, but a bunch of other people were also from King.com, who makes Candy Crush. So there's that. And then also there's some shit going down at Riot Games, as per usual. They found no evidence of wrongdoing by their CEO, who's been accused of sexual harassment.
Yeah, like, that whole thing is a shit show with Riot Games. That's...
Yeah, like, it was their own internal investigation that, amazingly enough, found no evidence whatsoever.
I thought they said it was an independent investigation that was checked out by three of the internal people, something like that.
Oh, sorry, you are right.
The actual investigation itself was supposedly independent.
You are correct. It was a three-person special committee, which, of course, they don't say anything else beyond that, but... no evidence of any misconduct and recommended no action be taken. However, Alienware no longer sponsors anything by Riot Games.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
We could also, you know, it could end it on a happy note too. 24-year-old never before seen Hyper Neo Geo 64 prototype for Samurai Showdown 64 has been found.
Ooh.
Nobody even knew it existed. The game had never been announced. The Hyper Neo Geo 64 version had never been announced. They just found it sitting under a tree on a pallet in the middle of a field in California.
How do you just find it, like, sitting on a fucking tree?
So actually, the story's pretty crazy. So this guy who specializes in pinball machine repair, he received a call from a client about, you know, fixing up this pinball machine, and he's like, well, where'd you get it from? And so he had bought it from this other guy who used to maintain arcade and pinball machines way back in the day, but had either retired or died. The article didn't make it clear, but he mostly dealt with the person's wife, so I'm assuming dead. Anyway, so he goes out to visit, you know, he calls up the wife and asks if he can go visit the area, because, like, he might still have some stuff that he'd be able to use to fix up this game, because I'm guessing it was pretty rare. So anyways, he goes out there, and it turns out that back when SNK closed its offices in California, the guy went over there and just bought a bunch of shit.
Hmm.
Like, six pallets worth of random shit. And so, like, he went through it and ended up finding that game prototype that, you know, nobody knew about. Still works and is available. And it's amazingly lucky that he had gone out there, because the wife said that she was thinking about calling a junk company next week. She just never got around to it.
Oh, wow. Could have been lost forever.
Yep.
Man.
Damn.
There was a story from 2 weeks ago, a similar story. There's an old, back in the heyday of Sega arcade machines, when they were building the big sit-down ones, like the cockpits that would spin around, they made one called the Sega R360, which was the only 360 arcade game made. It basically, we could go upside down, turn around every which way. I think they only made, like, I don't know, a dozen of them or something. So they just found one out in a field in the UK.
I remember that.
Someone was trying to get their hands on it, I think, to see if it's actually salvageable, but, like, there's so many moving parts for that. Servos that probably aren't made anymore, stuff. Yeah, I doubt it, but the ones that exist are being very well cared for. But that's where that stuff is, you know? It's in, like, some... There's, like, probably some pinball prototype in the grandma's garage somewhere, and she doesn't know it's there. And that's how that... So, I don't know. I like stories like that. That's a good one.
What other news do you have, Grant? Anything you want to talk about?
I only had a couple things I noticed just skimming. There's for anyone who does have Xbox Live Gold or and Game Pass or Game Pass, I'm not sure. I think there's a free weekend of games coming up. There's Dirt, and Dirt 5 is in the list.
Oh yeah.
And Dirt 5 is a way more arcadey Dirt experience. It feels kind of like MotorStorm to me. But it's a lot of fun, and I'll tell you, a weekend is all you really need. So if you want to get dirty, You could probably download that guy, play it for a couple days, and get a good taste of it. It's really, really good arcade control car game.
Yeah, and then, I really enjoyed that one too. I'm glad to hear someone else enjoyed Dirt 5.
It's cool. It's cool. It's I'm a little more into the semi camp with the dirt stuff, but it was really well done.
It's so gorgeous neat. Too on the Series X. Holy shit!
Yeah, it's awesome. My brother-in-law has a PS5, and I don't know if he has a TV that supports 120 hertz, but I do, and I want him to bring it to my house so I can see. I want to see Dirt 5 at 120 hertz badly.
Mine only supports 60. Oh
yeah,
I haven't been able to see it at 120.
We just got it. We got a new TV about 6 months ago. It's not like a top of the line TV, but it does support 120 hertz. But I don't have a console that doesn't have anything to push it. Normally, I'm
get a Series X, man.
Well, you know what? If they had one to sell me, right?
And even better, Dirt 5 is on Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah,
crazy. Looking, everything is on Game Pass.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is I didn't read the details, but apparently they released they went over the details of the new controllers for the PSVR.
Oh, yeah. They have rings around it.
Yeah. They look similar to the Oculus Quest, kind of like the sort of circle back over your hand thing. Real controllers, not making OG magic wands actually work with a camera. I'm curious to know what they'll do, with that. I have a Quest, which is a really neat machine, but after not being tethered to something, I have a hard time. The idea of having to be wired to a console isn't as attractive, but boy, I'm sure it would push some good pixels hooked up to a PS5. So I'm curious. No real interest myself, but that's something that people, PSVR sold a lot. So.
Yeah, I'm eager to see what the next PSVR 2 is going to be. I enjoyed my time with PSVR. I just think it's incredibly limited, and I want to see what they can do to improve it and just make it a better experience.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that is it for the news. Grant, we will let you get going.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out and for the special intro music.
Have a day.
And just being here. I love having you on the show, and your vocal ganger.
This thing will happen where I'll I'll see the podcast cross my feed and it's like, damn, it has been a while since I've been on there. So it was time to get back on and chat. So
indeed.
I have some things going on. I'll just mention a couple. I got a track and a new free mobile game called Dangle Dash, which is like a Letterkenny inspired, hockey kind of floppy birdish hockey game thing, which is kind of fun. Working on random trailers and working on some game music and stuff, but I'm dropping some new Card of Darkness music. It's already live on iTunes, and it'll probably be live on Spotify in the next couple days or something. I could send you a track if you want, but it's like a 3-song kind of deluxe single. It's for the expansion that came out for Card of Darkness back in November. And I got a guy, a Japanese composer named Momomo. Say that.
Momomo.
Momomo. Remix. Momomo. See, that's it. That's too many mo's. Too many mo's, Joe. So he did a remix for it too. So I guess there's some music dropping here and there. Nice.
Narrowband 2. Where's that coming?
What's that?
Narrowband 2. When's that?
Yeah, the heaviest thing I've done recently is your fucking birthday song. I just. Yeah, I'm getting there, man. The riff vault is still full, so I've been going. I've even got album titles I'm thinking about, and I don't know if I'll even do one as long. I may just try to do a series of deluxe singles, more two song drops over a couple months period or something. We'll see. Go. But you'll be first to know, Joe. You know that. So
thank you. It's good to hear.
Yeah. All right, Jacob. You take care, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. You too.
All right,
we'll see y'all. Grant, thank you for being here. Hugs and kisses to you. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Serve the cheese in the glass dish so you can quickly put the lid on. It's very important. All right.
Sounds good, Grant. Thank you. Have yourself a good night. Oh, man. All right. So are you ready to do your reviews?
Oh, God. Yeah, I guess.
All right, we'll try getting through these quick. The first game to talk about tonight is Can't Drive This, developed and published by Pixel Maniacs, released March 19th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Can't Drive This is a competitive co-op multiplayer party racing game. Drive your monster truck while your friend builds the road in front of you. Oh, and don't go too slow or you'll explode, like in that Sandra Bullock movie, in which she kind of does the same thing but on a bus. Also, she doesn't explode. Spoiler alert. Also, Keanu Reeves was in that movie. That's the intro. Jacob, tell us about Can't Drive This.
So, when I first heard the premise of this game, I was like, I don't understand how the hell this is going to work, because, you know, I figure everyone's going to be starting at the same time. And then you were just like, yeah, but don't be a dumbass. Go slower. Yeah. Just not too slow, you know? And so pretty much what it is one, like, it's as the whole thing suggests, one person is controlling a car, the other person's building the road, and you're given tiles one at a time. They're all randomized, and you need to make sure that you're putting them in the right direction when you're slapping them down. Otherwise, the person may not be able to drive through it.
Yeah, they'll just run into a guardrail.
Right.
Repeatedly. And then you'll put one on the other side that also has the guardrail, and I'll curse at you.
Right. Or it could also be like a ramp which launches you. So you have to be real careful about that, because there was a couple of times where Joe ended up having to put these speed ramps, like one, and then there'd be one in between, which like didn't matter because I hopped it anyway. And then I ended up going on another speed ramp and then just flying off the course. So pretty much you don't really get to choose what you get. It's like Tetris, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And yeah, it's just, you're trying to get from point A to point B. There's also a couple of modes in there, like Game of Drones, where drones are flying in the air and they set fire to the track randomly and they try to like get you to blow up. And what was the one that we played?
Oh, I don't remember the names. I don't remember. Shoot.
I don't know. But anyways,
I turned 40 today. Give me a break. I don't fucking.
Is your cake pre-chewed?
Yes. I feel like that's, it's probably ice cream cake, so it just melts.
Okay, good. So you could just actually could just toss some in your mouth and like it eventually melt. I could gum it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Although, geez, we better get off, because I mean, I think Matlock's about to be on. So anyway, so yeah, so it's just, you know, those are the game modes, and it's good for like a good, like, you know, 30-minute jaunt with some friends and stuff. Joe and I were having a blast last night playing it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And there is like a local version you can play, which, I mean,
which supports up to 4 players.
Ooh.
Yeah. Online only supports 2, so we have to make that.
Which, yeah. But yeah, I thought it was fun. It shows interesting creation and innovation with it, even though it's such a bizarre idea. But we had a lot of fun with it, so I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. I even had fun doing the single player. The single player isn't super in depth. It's basically you're just doing the same thing, but by yourself. You just switch back and forth. So it's definitely something that shines in multiplayer. So you either need to have a friend to play this with online, or you have to throw a COVID party or something and just get everybody sick and play together.
I don't feel like we should be recommending COVID parties.
You know.
I mean, especially now that you're 40.
I mean, yeah, true. I will. If I get COVID, I'm gone. I am long gone. Oh, that's my biggest concern, that I'm just going to get it and die, and it'll be like the night after a show, so it's not edited, and it's just not ready to go up yet, and I'm just like in my deathbed, like, no, I need to edit the show.
Make sure you, like, I don't know, you should probably, like, record a, like, so this is it. You know, this is how SML is going out.
I need George to record a, well, Joe's dead. Joe's dead. No more wet pancakes for anyone.
I don't know.
So you can't drive this. $20. What's your verdict?
$20?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Damn it. Like, yeah. the stingy part of me is just like, not for 20. Nope. Like, I'd be more comfortable with like 10 to 15, but fuck it. We had a lot of fun on multiplayer.
We did. We have to play it again, too. That was,
yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah, so fine. For $20, I'm still fine with it. Grudgingly.
I'm down with it as well. I think for $20, it's a lot of fun, as long as you have someone to play with. They do have random matchmaking online. I didn't really try it because this is a game that requires communication, and I don't like talking to strangers.
That's fair.
My mommy raised me right.
Did she?
No, she? Not at all.
She at least raised you to not talk to strangers.
True. Next game to talk about is Beach Buggy Racing 2 Island Adventure, developed and published by Vector Unit, released March 17th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, March 10th on PC for $19.99. Match your kart racing skills against a ragtag crew of rivals as you explore a mysterious island packed with ancient temples, dragon-infested castles, and post-apocalyptic ice cream stands. Unlock and upgrade moon buggies, monster trucks, and more. There's so many monster trucks lately.
That is
like
true.
Everything has monster trucks. Collect and master over 40 unique power-ups in an epic race for the ultimate trophy. Jacob, tell us about your time with Beach Buggy Racing. We had an interview with this one last week, so people could jump back a couple episodes and listen to that and get some more info on the game. But tell us about your time with it.
Yeah, so pretty much I played a lot of the adventure mode, which is supposedly has a storyline, but the storyline is really just you go through the town, do a bunch of races, and then somebody's just like, hey, you know, I bet you can't beat me. And then, like, you beat them, and then they inevitably join your team. So, I'm not going to say that, you know, the plot is exactly, you know, Scorsese level, but, you know... But, you know, it's whatever. It's a standard, you know, it's a standard plot for these kind of games. But, yeah, it's just, so pretty much it's a kart game that you go through. You can choose different drivers, different cars, and, of course, they all have different abilities and setting, or not settings, but stats for each of the cars. And you just go through the levels, and there's over like 40 pickups now in this game, which I haven't encountered all of them yet. So I don't know if you have to play
other
modes.
You unlock a bunch through career mode, and then if you do quick races, you have access to everything.
Okay, so that's why I haven't found everything yet. And yeah, it's just my God. I mean, it's like it's standard Vector Unit. The towns are beautiful. Like, everything looks fantastic in it. You know, it handles well. You know, the AI never feels unfair. And it's just all the power-ups, they're tons of fun. And even if it's just like, ah, shit, I got hit by this, like, there's still some of them that you could still turn around and make it into, you know, give you that boost in a game. Like, especially like, the stuff that flings you across the course. Or, like, suddenly makes you float in air. Yeah. So, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, I think it's more than a worthy successor to the original one. If you like that, I highly recommend it. If you like Mario Kart, highly recommend this.
Yeah, Vector Unit makes good games. I don't think they've ever released a dud. There's a lot of tracks on there. The adventure mode is really cool. When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be more of like an open world thing, but it's just like an adventure map that you go through and complete events. So I was a little disappointed, but that's my own expectations that were blown up unnecessarily.
Because you can't read.
Yeah, I can't word. Words are infuse word.
So, I mean, there is going to be, as I said last time, there is eventually going to be paid DLC coming out for it, which I'm looking forward to. So hopefully, you know, we can review that as well. But yeah, like, it's just, I mean, it's Vector Unit. It's fucking solid.
Yeah. And so $20, what's your verdict?
Absolutely. Like, honestly, like, you know, cheap ass Jacob is totally cool with $20 for this one. To be honest, I was expecting it to be $30. But, yeah, So 20, I'm definitely cool with.
Cool. All right. Well, next up is Gangsta Paradise, developed and published by Prison Games. It released March 19th on Xbox One for $6.99. Your city was safe from crimes for a long time, but these times had to end. Mafia boss Al Calzone came with his thugs and wants local business owners to pay tribute for protection. Some people paid cash, others with their lives. It was only a matter of time when they will visit your mother's flower store. You can't wait. Time to get rid of these mobsters and show who is the real boss here. Jacob, tell us about Gangsta Paradise.
So I pretty much it's a tower defense game. I believe that's the correct term for it. That is it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, okay. I don't play a lot of
a base defense game.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the genre, so I wasn't all too sure on making sure that I was using the correct terminology. So anyways, it's a tower defense game. And you start off the game with a regular pistol, and as you go through it, you have to defend it against all these thugs. You know, some move slower than others, some take more hits than others. Some of them have shields up, like they use a car door, and like you have to shoot them right through the open window section. And get a nice one hit kill on that. So. Pretty much it ends up being a bit of a grinding game because, you know, obviously you're not going to plow through this.
Well, we should explain the gameplay a bit because it's Carnage is saying it sounds like a shmup. It's like you move your character up and down the left side of the screen and enemies will come at you from the right. Kind of like Plants vs. Zombies style.
Yeah.
Where they'll just come across and you got to shoot them before they get to you and break down your wall and obviously kill you and your family and maim you and make you cry and then dump your body in a river.
Wait, aren't you already dead?
Yes.
But how are you crying?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But yeah, Joe just gave excellent explanation of how the gameplay actually works. And so it does become a bit grindy because you do have to go back. Eventually you are going to die. And you do need to, you know, beef up your stuff. Now, you are stuck with a pistol throughout the game. However, past certain levels, you can start buying other guns within that level when things get too hairy. But of course, what you should be doing is maxing out your pistol first, but also maxing out your defense, like, you know, your walls and stuff like that. And so eventually it just really starts becoming like, you know, how good is your aim, and how quick is your reloading. And then just when things, as I said, when they get hairy, you know, you buy a Tommy gun or you throw a grenade, which costs money. But each level starts off simply enough so you can start gathering enough money with your pistol, and then, you know,
and then it picks up and
right, you know. And so right now I'm about halfway through the game. I'm having fun with it, which I wasn't expecting because I'm really not a fan of the tower defense genre, but you know, this one's kind of fun. The music's not anything great, but you know, the graphics are fun for what it is. It looks like a flash game circa, you know, 2014, 2015. But you know, for $7, I thought it was plenty fun. I'd recommend it.
Cool. So your official verdict at $7?
Cheap ass Jacob is okay with $7.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. We got to get Dark Mika in here. So let us add her to the call. If it fucking lets me, there we go. Add. I should edit this, but I don't feel like it. Aren't I professional?
Very.
Oh, so here's Trouble. Aki, how are you doing?
Trouble. I'm just Trouble. That's how.
Yeah, you are Trouble. You are this. You are the most recent pain in my ass.
Aren't I usually the only pain in your ass and like the constant one? Because I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be my job very specifically.
Yeah, pretty much. But you're here to talk about a game with Jacob. That one is called Self, Where's My Father? Developed by Dubell, published by Monster Couch and Indie Nova, released March 12th on Xbox One for $9.99. Self is a suspenseful Kafka-esque text-based adventure game with simulation and puzzle mechanics. Could you seize the opportunity to find your father and yourself back in this introspective journey? Aki, how about you start with this one?
Okay. Sadly, I don't have too much to say about this one because I don't remember most of it. It is the game is visual novel-esque, where you choose your own adventure style with apparently puzzle elements in it. I don't really remember any of them anymore.
Jacob, could you chime in there?
Yeah, so pretty much, as Aki is, hold on, sorry, I have to scratch my eye. Yeah, it pretty much is as Aki was saying, like, it's a visual novel, and the whole plot of it is that, you know, you wake up, although one of the things I thought was pretty funny is that you can get the best ending of the game by ignoring everything and just staying in bed and sleeping.
That's the one that I remember.
So, yeah, well, that's what I did first. And I was just like, yeah, fuck this. I'm just going to sleep.
So did I.
So pretty much you wake up and you go about your business and everyone is just like, you know, you're like, oh, I haven't seen my dad in a while. You know, oh, I wonder when he's going to be home. And you find out people are looking for your dad. But then, like, when you talk about your dad with your mom, she's just like,
people are looking for your dad and no one else knows that who he is or that he exists, including your mom. But only two people are looking for your dad.
Yeah, like a short guy and a tall guy who seem to be able to switch faces or something like that. It's kind of weird, but in between all of this, there are these little mini games, which I've heard described as being Undertale-esque, but I haven't played Undertale, so I can't really comment on that.
Well, Undertale is now available on Xbox Game
Pass. Yeah, does it have achievements?
Yes.
All right, I might,
because it's on Xbox One now.
Well, you never know. Sometimes they
you might should ask, put some up. You should have one of us review it. You know, see about getting a.
You think I haven't tried?
No, that's fair. Oh, it's $15. We'll see. Anyway, so pretty much the mini games though are just like, I was kind of confused as to what I was supposed to be doing. I mean, you're supposed to be getting the green option, which is the best option. Or if you wanted to go with the red one, you could. Like, the game kind of asks you, like, which one do you want to do? And then you just go with that. And so it was a lot of dodging mini games, and that was about it.
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
Okay, well.
Damn.
So, yeah. Shit. Oh, and then what I was going to say is that it's just, or are we going to talk about, like, the flashing lights and stuff like that, or?
Well, yeah, obviously, that's.
Yeah, I was
okay.
Going to get to that very soon.
Okay, because I was about to say, like, anything. I mean, like, yeah, because, I mean, like, the three of us know, but I was just like, are we. I was kind of surprised that wasn't brought up first, because you keep saying, like, I don't remember anything, and I was like, but our listeners don't know why. So,
well, we have to get to that, obviously. This is something that the devs say will be addressed, so it might not be an issue depending on when you listen to this. But Aki, you ran into some issues with flashing lights in the game, correct?
Yes, there's a static effect in the game that, right at the start, you can open up the options before you even start the game, and you can be like, there's an option that turns it off. Except for, I don't know if it actually does or not, because I kept finding static effects throughout the game. I don't know if there's more of them if you have it on or off, because obviously I wasn't going to play it with that turned off, so... I had it to where they did not have static effects, and it still had static effects quite a bit. There was at least two different chunks where there was a static-like effect and a static effect. I don't really remember what set off the static effects anymore, because I just remember flashes of seeing them. But the static-like ones were anytime your character was having a panic attack or his heart was beating really fast, he got this static-like effect that messed up the screen and messed up the words that you still needed to read to know what the fuck was going on. So yeah, and there's a lot of it in the game.
Doesn't it actually start off with this? Like, I could have sworn it started off with the effect, and then, if I remember correctly, there was no warning.
No, there is. There was no seizure warning for that game at all. No.
Yeah, like, because there is up on the official Xbox page for it, up on the Xbox website. But yeah, like, I was just like, oh, that's kind of surprising. And then yeah, I couldn't remember if there was a setting for it or not. It happens a bunch in the game, and I was just like, ooh, this is not good. I mean, I was fine with it, but obviously you were not.
Not even remotely, no.
So it's something, again, that we brought to their attention. They will be addressing it in some manner or fashion. I think they're going to remove the flashes and add some kind of warning anyway. I really don't know what all they plan to do, but it is being addressed, which is the good thing.
Yeah.
So $10 on this one would do the two, you think?
I liked it. I'd pay $10 for it.
I don't have an opinion on it because I don't really remember anything but
bear
two endings. So I'm going to say, try it if you like visual novels and whatever kind of puzzle that was he was talking about. That explanation, I did not quite understand what that puzzle was supposed to be, but
oh god. All right, well, Jacob, that's it for you.
Woo!
I guess we'll let you get going.
Okay.
Or did you want to stick around while Aki does one?
Nah, I'm gonna go.
Okay. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Pasta with meatballs made in chicken, pork, and beef in tomato sauce.
Ew. Just ew.
Okay.
He's just trying to make everyone hungry, and he failed miserably.
I'm hungry.
No, actually, I just read the front of a SpaghettiOs can.
Ah, that's why I'm hungry. Okay, next up is In Rays of the Light, developed by Noskov Sergi, published by Sometimes You, released March 17th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. In Rays of the Light is an atmospheric author's parable about our place in the world, life, and death. Explore a mysterious territory filled with a variety of details that reveal the story, solve logic puzzles, and study text messages along the way. Aki, what is In Rays of the Light?
You play as an unnamed guy in this. It's mostly a walking sim with some more or less point and click aspects to it. You find stuff, you use stuff, and they're not difficult because usually you find an item and then you almost immediately use it. It's really quick to beat. It takes you maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe, to do a playthrough. I think in total I spent about 5 hours playing the game, but I also ate during that time. you're the only person around in this empty, dilapidated university building, it seems to be, of some sort. You're in Russia. As all the Russian stuff plastered all over the walls will tell you, because not all of it is translated. Lots of it is, but not all of it. And honestly, you don't even really have a set goal in the game. It's not like your character wakes up and is like, okay, I want to go do this. It's just, you're just doing stuff that needs to be done because it's a game, more or less.
Yeah, I spent some time with the game. I am so fucking lost with the game. Like, I started it up. I figured out that you got to get the light off the wall, and then
you don't have to.
Well, you should.
Yeah, it does make the dark sections easier when you get to them.
Okay, so you don't have to take the light, but
yeah, there's an achievement for staying in the dark for like 90-something percent of your playthrough.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I got that one already. I got all the achievements. I 100% to this game.
I didn't. I got one achievement so far, and that was for breaking into the bus, because I literally have no clue what I'm doing in this game. There's
You pick up the gas in the bus?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's another building out there that you have to get into, and then there's a weird puzzle that I had to look up how to solve it because I couldn't figure it out.
Just getting to the point of saying that it's a very open game, and it doesn't really point you in what you're supposed to be doing. It just kind of drops you in and lets you go.
Yeah. Everything you have to do is kind of in order, though, because you can't get to later sections without completing the earlier sections, but it does not tell you what you need to do at all. Not even remotely. I mean, when you can pick up the light, it says, and the light will guide you or something like this, or you'll need the light or something. And it has occasional little things like that that pop up on walls, but they don't that doesn't really tell you fucking anything. So it's a very much, you have to look around and just find items, and you're like, oh, this is added to my inventory. Obviously it's fucking important. And then there's a couple puzzles you have to solve to get items, but there's not very many. And you just get to new areas with that. There's only like 4 or 5 areas, I think. And some of them are in your starting area. They're just rooms that are fucking locked that you have to get into. And then the ending is really weird, and you get one of two endings based on whether you've been in the light most of the game or in the dark most of the game. I don't know what percentage you have of time you have to be in the dark for the dark end, but you have to be in it for a sizable chunk. And it gives you two very different, very fucking weird endings. But you're the only person alive, and through stuff that you can collect and read around, it seems like there was some sort of nuclear strike or something between seemingly the U.S. and Russia, and that's why there's no one around anymore. And the endings are weird. One of them fits in line with that.
Don't go into the endings, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't spoil.
Yeah, but there's not a lot to say about it because it's a very short game. Again, it's only a couple hours long. If you have a guide, you can probably finish it in an hour and a half, maybe.
And Lord knows there's going to be an achievement guide out there.
There's already, by the time I got it, there was already a 100% walkthrough guide.
Of course there is.
Yeah, that's how I figured out that puzzle. I was like, I know this is a puzzle. I cannot figure out what the fuck I need to do, and I had to look it up.
Well, yeah. $8 on this one. What do you think of it?
Oh, I'm for it. I'm surprised Cole's not in here talking about it, though.
Because she wasn't on this episode, because her fucking audio and her computer are messed up. So I'm hoping this, she'll come on and we'll do some more reviews, but I don't know if there's going to be more show or not.
I'm the new Cole! Yes!
Oh, God. Do you have any final words before I presumably move on to reviews with Cole?
Bananas.
All right. And through the magic of editing, Cole's here.
Editing. Oh, my God. We have to edit. I should destroy my computer more often, so you have to do more editing.
Fuck you.
Excuse me.
It's my birthday episode, damn it.
My computer tried to implode on your birthday, so I can be as cruel as I want.
Well, that just means you have to get something new for my birthday.
New computer?
Yeah, you get a new computer for my birthday.
Are you taking a page out of David's playbook?
Well, that actually happened. Ashley got a new car from her parents a couple years ago, and they delivered it and gave it to her on my birthday. And then this year, Ashley's mom bought herself a new car on my birthday.
Wow. Your birthday is a great day for everybody else.
Yeah, seriously. And I'm stuck doing this with y'all. I already had to deal with Jacob. I already had to deal with Aki. Grant was here. That was fun.
Grant Nathan was great. Here. Yes.
That was fun.
That was. I got to be there.
Just the fact that I got both of them together and they sound so similar, there were a few times I had to look at the Skype window and see whose window was lit up. That's make incredible. Sure I could keep track of who was who.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, you missed all the birthday fun. You missed all the news.
I did. I haven't even got to listen to the birthday song yet.
I know. You got to do that.
My heart hurts.
Yeah, do that. It was really good.
Maybe it'll fix my computer if I play it for it.
Maybe. You'll have to find out after we're done recording in like 4 hours. Because there's still a lot of reviews to go, people. There's still a lot of show to go. You're here just in time, Cole.
Oh, boy. Maybe that's why my computer tried to implode. It was like, you're doing too much. Take a break.
Yeah. Anyway.
Break.
You ready to do some reviews?
Yep.
You didn't sound ready. You sounded like you were halfway across the room running away from the computer.
My leg was scratching and I leaned down right as you said it. I was like, son of a bitch. My leg was itchy.
Anyway, first game that you're here to talk about is called Hunting Simulator 2, developed by Neopika, published by Nacon, released March 23rd on Xbox Series X and PS5 for $39.99. With your hunting dog by your side, explore the Texan deserts and forests of Colorado and Europe as you track down 33 animal species. Choose your gear from over 160 official weapons, accessories, and clothing items, including Browning, Winchester, and Bushnell. Cole, tell us about your time with Hunting Sim 2, and I can go into some of the details about the visual upgrades and how it looks on the Series X.
I will say, even though I was playing on 1S, the game was prettier than I remember it being. I feel like when I initially played Hunting Simulator 2, like one of my complaints was that it wasn't that great looking and that there were better hunting sims. So even if you're on an older console, it's entirely possible that either my memory is fucked or the game just looks better.
Because I was going to say, it looked really good on the Series X.
I was pleasantly surprised. I loaded up with like, I don't remember it looking this good. So maybe it did benefit a little anyway. But if you've not played a hunting simulator, then I would say that Hunting Simulator 2, now granted, I didn't play Hunting Simulator 1, so I can't compare it to that, but I would say Hunting Simulator 2 is one of those games that's a little easier to get in on the ground floor of the genre, compared to playing something like The Hunter Call of the Wild, which I've spent a lot of time with. That's a hunting simulator that, like, you really have to know what the fuck you're doing and take it into consideration. Like, even the type of vegetation you're in can affect whether or not the animals can hear you and how you're moving through it. There are some of those elements in Hunting Simulator 2. If you are running, for example, and you get too close to an animal, it's going to run away. It's still far more forgiving than a lot of other simulators is basically what I'm trying to boil down to here. In The Hunter, for example, the animals can smell you, and that's not an issue like it is in The Hunter in Hunting Simulator 2. So if you're trying to find a foothold in the hunting simulator genre where you're like, I kind of like, you know, hunting, but I'm not sure I'm into it enough to like justify going full simulator mode, then Hunting Simulator 2 is great for that. You do still have to worry about buying your licenses. There are a ton of areas to hunt in. I'm really happy to see that they've continued to support it. There has been additional areas added, which is wonderful. There's plenty of different animal types, although to an extent it does kind of feel like they've copied and pasted some animal behaviors and then just put different skins on them. foxes and wolves, for example, will behave very similar. So you do need to, you know, be aware that it does have that arcadey quality to it in a way, despite being called Hunting Simulator. But again, for some people that are just getting started, that's not a problem. If you are a hardcore hunting simulator fan, then, you know, take that into consideration, though. That I found that I enjoyed the game more than my husband actually did, because I don't mind the arcadey aspects. I'm just like, let me stand out somewhere and shoot something. Whereas he takes into the, oh, the wind is blowing from the west. And I don't have time for that shit. I'm just out here to shoot something.
I just want to explore the woods, find a couple of watchtowers and hang out. Yep.
And
spy this on is- the ducks and accidentally shoot one with the wrong caliber bullet.
That is something you have to take consideration of, because they will get your shit for that. So at least there are still enough simulator aspects to it to justify saying it's a hunting simulator and not just a shooter. I tend to think more of like the Cabela's games tend to be that arcadey shooter where they're just like, go kill things. This is a good happy medium between like Cabela's and Call of the Wild or Hunter of the Call of the Wild. So definitely it has its place in the genre. Super impressed with what's been added. Super impressed with how pretty it is. Still annoyed that you can use the dog on all hunts. Although I was pleasantly surprised to like load up and remember that I had a beagle named Hamilton. I was like, oh yeah.
I named my beagle Peanut.
Peanut. I didn't even remember that I had named him Hamilton, and I loaded it up, and I was like, oh, look at you, you're cute! Forgot all about him.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on the whole easy to approach and more accessible for newcomers to the genre. I'm not as big into hunting games as you and your husband, but I was able to pick it up. I was able to go out and start exploring and tracking and following the tracks and having my dog sniff out prey. And, you know, I took down some animals.
Nice.
I got some hunts.
And some finds, it sounds like.
Well, I got one find for the duck, but they wouldn't shut the fuck up. And I just wanted to shut them up. And that didn't shut them up, by the way.
No, it doesn't. It just makes them all honk after that.
Yeah. Yeah, on a Series X, it looks great. It plays really well. Fast travel times were near instant. It was really impressive how quick it was.
Good.
I love the fast hard drives or the solid state drives, not hard drives. Mm-hmm. The solid state drives in these consoles, the load times are so pretty. They make me so happy.
I had those on my PC before it imploded.
Yeah.
I'm salty.
Yeah. One downside is that this is not a smart delivery or cross-buy game. So if you owned it on Xbox One or PS4, you have to rebuy it on Series X or PS5. It does come with a fresh achievement list.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, is there an upgrade system?
No.
Hmm. But it does have separate achievements.
Yeah, it's a whole new release. So
to be fair, though, the achievement list in this game is a nightmare.
Is it?
Yeah. Like, you have to unlock... There's one special gun that you get from killing all the animals, and it is a time sink.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, $40 on it, what do you say?
I do think it's worth it. Like I said, it has its place in the hunting simulator genre, and it does fine. And it's pretty. And you get a dog. Name him Hamilton.
Yeah, if you're new to the genre like me, I think this is a good place to get in on it. It looks really good. It plays really well. It was enjoyable. I did not uninstall it, and I plan on going back and trying to get some more animal carcasses and trophies and decorate my lodge. I like I like the little lodge that you can walk around, and
the lodge is great.
It's cute.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that it's covered in dead bodies kind of way.
The best kind of lodge.
You know.
Covered in dead bodies. Next game to talk about is called Signs of the Sojourner, developed by Echo Dog Games and Bromeo, published by Digirati, released March 17th on PS4, 18th on Switch, 19th on Xbox for $19.99. Vines of the Sojourner is a narrative card game about connecting with people. Your deck is your character reflecting your experiences and shaping your relationships. I have never heard of a description more in tune with you, I think, ever.
It was made exclusively for me. It was like they listened to the show, they listened to all the things that I like, and they were like, yeah, we got this.
The Girardi, from being on the show so many times, they're like, we know what Cole wants, and we're going to sign that game.
Here we are. And it was worth it. I absolutely adored this game. So this is going to be kind of difficult to explain via podcast. It is one of those that you kind of have to at least see. The dialogue, this is a narrative game where your character never has any dialogue. Okay? You don't ever actually speak. You don't make any choices in how to speak. You don't choose any dialogue responses. The way that you interact with the other characters is via the cards. So when you first meet somebody, the dialogue box in the middle will contain a row of card icons. The first one will be put down by the person that you are communicating with. Each card will have an icon on the left and an icon on the right. Let's start simple with like a circle and a triangle. Okay.
Okay.
And then your goal is to continue the conversation by putting down a card that matches the icon on the right of the card before it.
Interesting.
So if your card, starting card, is circle, triangle, your goal is to put down a card where on the left it has a triangle and on the right it can be whatever you want. Now, here's how you win and how you lose. If you put down a card where the other person has a card in their hand that they can match it, that's a good thing. Okay?
Okay.
That continues the conversation. But if you put down a card that they can't match, so let's say their first card is a circle and a triangle, and let's say you lay down a card that is a triangle and a square. Now, you know they had circles and triangles because that was their first card, but they don't have any squares. You've broken the line of communication.
Mm.
So each
it bounces back and forth.
Yes. So the conversation will last a set number of cards. Sometimes it'll only be three. It's a short conversation. Sometimes it'll be five or six. But it will also have a certain amount of speech bubbles. So basically it breaks down into parts. Every time you break the line of communication, you get a black speech bubble, which basically means shit went wrong. And every time you complete the conversation, you get a white one. Each interaction with each character will have a set number of white and black conversation speech bubbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to either get all of the whites, or if you're trying to have shit go wrong, you can get all of the black ones. Realistically, it's a narrative game and there isn't any win or lose. I was one of those people that was always trying to like keep everybody happy. It's not technically possible, though, because every time you interact with somebody, you gain an experience from them. Now, the whole point of like the circles and the triangles, they all have different meanings attached to them. Circle is compassion, for example, and a triangle might be empathy, whereas a pink spiral might be dissent or sadness or distress. So that kind of affects, you can tell the tone that the conversation is supposed to be taking based on which cards are being liked. The characters you interact with, they will have actual text dialogue and they will actually talk and progress the story along, but your part is just based on the emotions tied to the images on the cards you use. After you interact with somebody and you complete their speech bubble line, for better or for worse, whichever way it goes, you will have a... Oops, I bumped the mic. I'm sorry.
Proud of you.
You will have a dialogue section, and then you will gain experience from that conversation. Now, the deck that you are playing with is static. You only ever have, I think it's 12 cards in your deck at any time. You can lose cards, gain cards, but you only ever have 12. So for every new experienced card you get, you have to give up one of your other ones. And when you interact with certain characters, they're only going to be able to have certain types of responses, which means they'll only be able to have cards. If you keep getting rid of all your circles, for example, and then you get into a conversation with somebody, they might put down a circle and then you can't match it. And so you're destined for a bad conversation, right?
Yeah.
So the important thing about the game is learning to balance your deck so that you can respond appropriately and be a well-rounded human being and not always just responding with anger or fake empathy or anything. It's a lot harder than it sounds because you may have a bad conversation with somebody and then you may have what you thought was a decent deck, but then you take away when you receive a card at the end of your experience with them, it may not have any of the modifiers that made your other cards great. For example, there's one modifier that lets you continue a conversation even if you don't match the cards, or without penalty. Or there's modifiers that will let you play extra cards so you can kind of clean up if you fuck up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you may find that you have a bad conversation and you have to give up one of your cards with a modifier because you don't have a choice but to take the card that you got from the experience. So you can set yourself back a lot. Now, that's only part of the gameplay. That's actually a big part. It's how everything boils down. But the premise is that you're playing as this character who is part of a caravan that is trying to follow in their mother's footsteps and keep their little no man's land town from being taken off of the map. The caravan decides to pass by that town and no longer stop and give them wares to sell to draw people in. Then the town falls apart, right? I live in a no man's land town, so that kind of hit. I was like, oh, I recognize this story. I live it. I know what happens to towns when the economy decides to ignore it. So you have your little truck, and after you have all of the conversations in an area, whether you carry on with everybody that's there to interact with or not, you can then move on from that town and go to the next one. You have the freedom to choose where you're going to go on the available roads. The roads, however, are unlocked by interacting with people. So if you just take like the frame of mind of I'm going to protect my deck and not interact with other people that might throw my deck out of whack, then you're limiting yourself because you're not going to get intel on how to open up new roads to new areas.
Yeah.
You also have to be mindful that if you travel around for too long, you may end up with fatigue cards that take over your deck. Fatigue cards are the bane of my existence because they end the conversation and you lose two conversation square speech bubble thingies.
Ooh.
Because you can't talk and then the other person you're talking with can't match to it ever. So you lose the one for dropping your conversation and theirs. There's no match for fatigue bubbles or for the fatigue cards. However, there's a trick. One is just don't fucking go far from home. But the second one is that in your travels, if you're lucky, you come across a little dog named Thunder. And every time you interact with Thunder, he takes away a fatigue card. Ah. And Thunder's great because no matter what, everything interacts with Thunder except for a fatigue card. So Thunder is wonderful because like you can be incredibly beat down and be like, man, I have so many fatigue cards because I took a long road and I don't know how I'm going to actually have any decent conversations. And then it's like, hey, Thunder would like to play. And you're like, yes. Please get rid of at least one fatigue card.
Well, fatigue cards aside, $20 on Signs of the Sojourner. What are you thinking of this game?
I absolutely love it. I thought they did a really good job of fleshing out a whole story with an actual twist on the narrative genre. Like, it's hard to take narrative games and change them up, but they did an incredible job. So I definitely give this a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Adios, developed and published by Mischief, released March 17th on Xbox One and PC for $17.99. The pig farmer decides he no longer wants to dispose of bodies for the mob. What follows is a discussion between you and the hitman who will have to kill you if he can't convince you to stay. Cole, tell us about this one.
I got dead by the hitman.
You got dead?
Yeah, but the more important thing is, what did I choose for my final meal?
What did you choose for your final meal?
Well, one time I fucked up and I made goop. And the other time, I just got annoyed and got a taco out of the fridge. Because navigating how to actually use the kitchen is really hard. So Adios is basically, you're a pig farmer. And it, again, is a narrative game because I fucking love me some narratives. I swear we saw a video for Adios on E3, and I was like, oh, from ever since, and then I forgot about it, and then as soon as you mentioned it, I was like, oh, because I remembered it from E3. but the concept is, you're a pig farmer, and this pig farmer gets rid of bodies for an organized crime organization. As organized crime is, I guess, and by feeding the bodies to the pigs. First off, that's fucking wonderful. I remember in college, like, we had pigs on the farm, and they were like, if you have any health conditions, you can't go in the pig pen by yourself because they'll eat you if you fall. And so, like, seeing that and having that memory and seeing it in a video game kind of tickled me because I'm weird and I went to school for weird shit. Anyway, feed the bodies to the pigs.
Oh, God.
Feed the bodies to the pigs, but you tell your mafioso buddy here that you don't want to do it anymore. You want out. The problem is that criminals don't let you sever ties with them. They sever ties with you. And so the guy goes way out of his way to try to convince you of all the good reasons why you should continue to feed bodies to the pigs for them. And as you are going through this experience, you're also taking this crime boss through a day on the farm with you. So you're milking goats, and you're feeding the horse, and shoveling manure, and going skeet shooting, and doing all kinds of things that an old dude on the farm would do, or me. I do these things. Not skeet shooting, but a lot of the other shit. Not defeating bodies to pigs either.
Yeah, sure. Though. Sure.
And let's throw that out there. I don't have any pigs.
Mm-hmm.
We got coyotes, though. Anyway. yeah. So
I do not want this show used as evidence, please.
Again. Anyway, so you're going through the motions of a day, and you learn about the farmer and his life and his family and the things that have led up to this point. I do like that even though you have full control of how to move about the farm, the game does a good job of guiding you toward the different scenes so that you're not ever just like kind of wandering around going, I don't know how to start the next part of the story, because there's literally just a big black diamond with a number. And as you get closer to it, the number goes down, and then you get there and it starts the scene. It's very handy. However, it does lead to my one complaint about the game. If they can give me a number to tell me where to go to start a scene, they can give me a chapter select.
No chapter select.
There is no chapter select. And there are achievements for making different decisions. So you have to replay. I will give them credit that there's like 7 different achievements for the actual final chapter of the game. And if you just keep hitting continue, you can replay that final chapter over and over and over, which is great. It's very helpful. Doesn't help with all the other achievements at all, though. So I would have given anything for a chapter select instead of just a, hey, you can keep eating a taco if you want. It's a good taco. You can microwave it.
Is it an $18 taco, though?
You know, I think it is. I will say this is kind of a short game just from like the general story side of it. Yeah, but it's a meaty taco. Like there's a really good story there and I was really into it. And I did want to replay it so that I could see the alternatives.
So it's a meaty taco. This ain't no Taco Bell bullshit.
No, this is like, them pigs are full.
This is Chi-Chi's. Remember Chi-Chi's?
No, what is that?
Just an old Mexican restaurant chain.
Oh, wait, yeah. Okay. I will say, though, I do have one other, like, minor gripe. The character models, in general, are kind of odd. But the pigs, for some reason, definitely have teats on their faces. And I don't know what went wrong in the pig modeling. However, there has been a patch, but I didn't go all the way back to the beginning yet. Because I was working on those ending achievements. So I don't know if the patch fixed the teats on the pig's face. But I did get a... There was a patch. So maybe that's been fixed. Maybe it's insignificant at this point.
Maybe. But next game to talk about is called Synergia, developed by Ready Art in Top Hat Studios, published by East Asia Soft. Released March 18th on the Switch for $14.99. Synergia is a Yuri thriller visual novel that takes place in a cyberpunk future wrapped in a beautifully unique, vibrant neon aesthetic. At the end of the world, sometimes love is the ultimate crime. Our friend Serlina wrote in a review of this one. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Synergia for the Nintendo Switch, developed by Ratty Art and published by Top Hat Studios and East Asia Soft. Synergia is a cyberpunk neo-noir dystopian visual novel where you play as Clea, a real onion of a woman who's stuck in a life rut and doesn't know how to get out of it. Oh my god, that sounds like me. Except I'm not a woman. I'm in a rut, though.
Oh, and, no.
And
maybe you need a pig farm.
Maybe. Anyway, full disclosure, this review is going to be different because I thoroughly believe that all visual novels should be experienced. Like any medium, most folks will have different reactions to what they're seeing, hearing, and experiencing, and I can only give you my point of view on these things. I'll let you know how I feel about the story without giving away much of it. With that being said, the game starts you off at a very weird place. You know something has happened, but you have no idea exactly what, and the story unfolds as we come closer to the day where you know something happened. You meet Clea, your incredibly stoic heroine, who is largely dissatisfied with her life. She's brooding, dismissive, and a bit mean. There's also a good chance you won't even like her when you first meet her. But you'll identify with her because everyone has been at the exact spot where Clea is when you meet her. She's lonely, depressed, wondering what she has to cling to. Yet she has no motivation to change things, even though she desperately wants to. She's like talking to my soul right here.
You have a soul?
No.
Oh.
Not anymore.
Oh.
As the game progresses, Clea does begin to blossom. Through events that feel incredibly orchestrated, she meets Mara, and this is where you see great change in Clea's personality as she becomes accustomed to Mara's presence in her life. It's worth noting that Mara is an android. In fact, many of the characters that you meet are androids because this is a cyberpunk thing, and there are androids, futuristic stuff, implants, and all that other jazz, so deal with it. The characters that you meet in the game are, for lack of a better word, adorable. Each of them have a certain quality that just made them adorable in my eyes. However, they all have real problems stemming from the world that they live in. This was incredibly refreshing to see. Even the android characters have a fatal flaw, almost, and I loved it. I love finding out their different motivations. I don't want to spoil too much of the story, but there are going to be some moments where you aren't expecting things to shake out the way they do, but it all still makes sense. Aesthetically pleasing, the game leans heavy into the cyberpunk theme. It's very neon, but I wouldn't say it's bright. It's flashy but gloomy and always look like it's about to rain, which is how I like my neo-noirs. I would say that the neon in the game was a bit much for me. I wish it wasn't all in red. I would have liked some variety there. The controls are pedestrian, not much to do except watch the game unfold, which is fine. The only thing that was annoying is that there are no prompts telling you how to flip to the next page. By trial and error, I figured out it's the Y button. Alternatively, you could also touch the screen to move to the next screen, but figuring that out on your own seems like a waste of time to me. There's a bit of gameplay available here, but it's mostly in the form of making a decision for Clea that does not affect the story. That does affect the story. That's that's a massive difference in sentence.
Yeah.
Me throwing a word in there. Oof. There's a bit of gameplay available here, but it's mostly in the form of making a decision for Clea that does affect the story, but who knows how. It's not apparent until later, and I'm not spoiling you, so good luck. Synergy is available right now on the Nintendo Switch for $14.99, and should you buy this one? Oh yes, you definitely should. It's one of the best slow burns I've experienced in a while, and it was a joy for me to watch Clea grow. I do feel that others should experience this visual novel as well. All right. You gonna look into that one?
Yeah, maybe.
Hopefully they bring it to Xbox.
She didn't say if it's going to have easy achievements or not, so I have to wait.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. Next game to talk about is Space Otter Charlie, developed by Wayward Distractions, published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released March 18th on Xbox One, Switch, and Steam for $14.99. Adorable characters? Check. Makeshift weapons? Check. Otter dressed in a foam shark suit? Check. Join Charlie and his ragtag team of sea mammals as they jump, float, and rocket through otter space in this zero-G puzzle platformer.
Oh, they had me up until the pun.
Yeah, I know. Only Carnage was here.
Given the hour, I'm glad he ain't either.
he would probably make an otter kind of joke.
I'm going to bed. Good night. Bye.
So tell us about Space Otter Charlie.
I don't know. I can't think about anything now because of the otter puns. I'm so disappointed. Ugh. Yeah. Yay. Anyway, humans have fucked up the planet. They're gone. And then there's nothing left but otters and, well, some other animals. But ultimately, the otters decide that the planet's too damn hot for them, too. And they take off to outer space. And then they start exploring around space station and collecting weird materials, and there's plenty of things that can kill them, and there's also lots of wonderful little hidden secrets where you can go collect useful things like fuel for your little otter jetpack, and it's really lovely. A little odd when you're first starting, especially given how the story starts, but it's surprisingly fun. The way that you control your otter is that because it's outer space, you have to basically, he clings to the walls, and you can jump from the walls and use your stick to point which direction you want to jump in, and then you press A and he goes. If you have tank in your jetpack after you get it, you can then control him for a little while until your jetpack runs empty. And you can, you know, navigate around corners and things like that. Using the jetpack. But your goal is to find different blueprints. There's also some hidden narrative and other lovely, wonderful collectible things that you can find. But your primary goal is just to get upgrades and things like that. There are builder robots scattered around. When you get blueprints and enough materials, you can go to them. And then you can get things like a little space blaster, and upgrades for shields and things like that. It's very useful. Makes the game a lot easier because there's a lot of things trying to kill you. They do a really good job of making combat interesting, given your mobility limits with being in space and being an otter with a jetpack. One of the early bosses, for example, is basically like a large computer monitor in the middle of an area. And you have to, there's lasers trying to home in on your otter, and your goal is basically like to stand on the monitor so the lasers will aim, and then once they aim precisely at you, jump out of the way so that they hit the monitor instead.
Bro strats.
yeah, it's really creative that they've thought of these different ways to make the mobility limitations and the actual combat come together and be enjoyable. Because it could have been so easy to just be like, well, you have a space laser, just shoot it. But no, you have to actually think about a creative way to do damage. Which I definitely appreciate. There's not enough games anymore that make you think about how you're actually going to do damage. They're mostly just like, you can punch, you can shoot, just shoot it. It's fine. We gave you a gun, just shoot. Whereas Space Otter Charlie is a little more like, no. Use your brain. You have a jetpack. We gave you a jetpack. and an otter, by the way. Art style is really adorable. The characters are well written. I thought the story is odd, but it makes sense in its own little weird way. I don't feel like I did it justice, and it's probably because I'm tired and stressed, but but do take my word for it that this is one of those games that I knew was going to be okay, but I didn't expect to like it and actually want to spend time with it like I did. And I'm glad it surprised me.
Nice. So $15 on this one. What are you thinking about it?
I give it a buy it. It's there. It's got plenty of content. It's not too hard that you can't enjoy it. And it's an odd, quirky little game that just surprises you.
It reminded me of Dandara.
Yeah.
Dandara.
Dandara. Now that you say it, yeah, I can see that. But not as hard.
Yeah.
Dandara was fucking hard.
Dandara.
Yeah.
Hate myself too. Next game is NeuroDeck Psychological Deck Builder. It's like it's your birthday.
It is.
You're getting all the games this week that are just designed for you.
This is so perfect.
Developed by Tavrox Games, published by Goblins Publishing, released March 18th on Switch and PC for $13.99. NeuroDeck is a psychological deck-building card game to challenge your fears, build your deck and capacities by answering personality tests, visiting rooms, or meditating. Face your phobia and defeat them through the power of life-inspired cards. Cole, what is NeuroDeck?
Wow, I don't know how I'm supposed to actually describe this game. And I've put so many hours into it. And I'm still just like, now that you say what is it, I'm like, I don't know. The whole point of NeuroDeck is to explore the mind and explore phobias in particular. So if you do have some phobias, take that into consideration. Like, the whole point of the game is to explore phobias and mental illness. So there is definitely depression gets touched on, agoraphobia, arachnophobia, fear of lizards. I don't remember what the proper name for that one was. Fear of
lizardophobia.
No, it's like
clearly.
It's like herpetophobia, herpetophobia or something like that. It's a weird one. Starts with an H. I love the art style for this game because they've actually gone so far as to create enemies that embody the phobias. Hmm. Which is like, okay, fine. Arachnophobia is a fear of spiders, right? Like, it's a spider boss. I don't know. But like, how do you turn the fear of pregnancy into a villain? Except,
I don't know.
The way that they do it is that there's all of the enemies are like silhouette figures, right?
Okay.
And for the fear of pregnancy, it's the silhouette of a woman that is pregnant, but there's this constant angry face trying to burst out of her pregnant belly. And when a certain phase of attacks hits, then the face actually like opens up into the head of a baby coming out of her belly and like gnashes its teeth and stuff. Kind of terrifying now that I explain it. Like, looking at it, it takes a lot to actually scare me. I know that we have the whole fear pee thing, and I'm like, eh, over like 90% of the stuff I think most people fear pee over. But, like, when I describe it and think about it, I'm like, yeah, I guess that kind of was scary shit. I could see where people would be scared. But they did such a creative job of creating these villains out of actual legitimate fears. One of my favorites was actually masculinity and the fear of masculinity. And it's embodied by this super masculine but headless male body. And so then, like, the enemy continues to build up wrath, which, because this is a card game, you'll build up the different modifiers to affect your damage and things like that. So over like 3 or 4 draws, this enemy will continue to literally pump iron and get more wrathful so that it does more damage on its hits. You have to, of course, build out your card deck, but the card deck is only part of it. I love that the deck is not just ways to fight the phobias, but they're positive ways of also just healing and calming yourself. One of my favorite things about this game is that it doesn't do anything in any way to shame somebody for these fears. So, for example, you know, just one of the ways you can attack is just, the card is called Random Thoughts. And the picture on the card is just somebody looking up smiling, you know? Just a random thought can help fight back a phobia, right?
Yeah.
Or one of the ways that you can give yourself more stamina and more health is comfort food. And it's a card with a piece of pizza on it. And I was like, I feel that. That's a thing. That's just, you just go, yeah, pizza can do a lot to just make you feel better when you're fighting whatever your brain is doing to you. So I really appreciate the way that they worked in these little things. You can drink alcohol and get wrath and be angry and fight against the phobia that way. You can build up your deck to just be somebody who's well rested. And sometimes that can do a lot to help you fight against the phobias. One of my favorite mechanics was to build up being well rested and then using another card to turn well rested into motivation. And at that point, you like did a hit of damage for every well rested you had stacked up. And so I would just be like, take a nap, play a game. Take a nap, play a game for like 3 or 4 hands. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh yeah. And now it's motivation and I've destroyed whatever I was against. And I really liked the way that it let you play around with the cards that way. You can also go through different rooms between the boss battles, and the room options will be something like, you can do classwork, and then that'll let you take one of your existing cards and upgrade it and make it better. Or you can sleep, and that will let you add a new card to your deck. So maybe you might get something more useful, a new technique for dealing with the phobias. Or you could take the surveys, and the surveys would let you answer questions that would unlock traits for yourself. Now, there's an up and a down to this, because it's very obvious when you're answering the surveys what trait you're going to unlock by what you answer. On one hand, that gives you some control in a roguelike, right?
No.
Because you can decide, yes, I'm going to get a trait that I would like to have. On the other hand, given how everything else is about exploring and just taking what comes along, it does kind of feel like it takes away from the mental health element, because you don't get to pick who you are. So that's kind of a give and take there. Also, you can take multiple, you can only have 3 active traits at a time. And the traits do important things in the runs, like they can let you start off with extra modifiers or give you extra action points or things like that. But if you stack up more than 3 of the traits, you can go in and like disable different traits and enable other ones in their place if it will be more beneficial to the boss that you're going against. There's also the element of you get to choose which phobia you're going against. And that's a little odd. I got used to it because it works in the gameplay cycle. But thinking back on it, it's like, yeah, you don't get to choose if you've got agoraphobia or arachnophobia. But it works out for the sake of the game. It's fine. And it does let you kind of choose, because sometimes you can build up a deck that against certain bosses would just be useless. So at least it gives you a little more leeway to keep going. Still surprisingly difficult game, and it took me several runs to get a win initially.
Really? I figured you would just breeze through it.
It seemed like it would be a lot easier than it was. but it took quite a bit. The biggest reason for that is because when you get to the final boss often has the ability to modify the rules of the game completely. So you play against the normal enemies, and you just take them at face value and whatever you play works. But you may get to the final boss, and the final boss might change the rules on one hand, where if you play a card that gives you stamina, it's an automatic end of turn. And then you might get through that hand, and then the next one it'll be like, oh, anything that damages the boss damages you too, or whatever little modifier it decides to throw in there. There were so many. And it was really hard to keep up with the pace of what the modifiers were the first couple of times I fought the bosses, or the final boss. And that's kind of made worse because the modifiers go up on the top left-hand side of the screen, and not every time when you hover over them with the mouse. For most of the game, if you hover over something with a mouse, it will tell you what it is, which is incredibly useful. I have bitched plenty about card games that don't do that, so I'm grateful that is in Neurodeck. But it did seem glitched when it came to the in-game modifiers. Sometimes I could hover over it and it would show up, but it would show up down on the right hand side in front of the boss instead of where I was holding my cursor. And sometimes it just straight out wouldn't show up at all. So there were times where I was kind of flying blind because I didn't know what the actual rule change had been. And so that's where the biggest issue came in, and probably why it took me a few extra runs more than I'd like to admit to beat it. but once you do beat the runs initially, you continue to unlock different decks which are tied to different emotions. So as I said, the first one that you get is based around being joyful, and so you know you have cards like random thoughts and comfort food, whereas the next one you might unlock might be anger, and so your cards are more geared toward having wrath type of plays and elements to it. And in addition to that, you unlock difficulty levels, so you can tier up the difficulty up and down to make it a little harder or easier on yourself as you continue to play.
Overall, sounds like a pretty solid package.
It really is. I did not think it was going to be that in depth when I started playing it, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Nice. So $13.99 on Neurodeck Psychological Deck Builder. What do you say?
Buy it and fall in love with it like I did. Please. I need more people to love Neurodeck.
You have loved a lot of games this week.
I know. It was a good week for me.
Well, you got one more game. Does the trend continue?
Maybe. What's in it? One more game.
You don't even remember.
What have I even talked about tonight? Is it Sumatra?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's a point and click.
Well, let's get to it. Final game to talk about tonight is called Sumatra Fate of Yandi, developed by Cloak and Dagger Games, published by Rattalaika Games, released March 19th on Xbox One, Series X, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $6.99. Sumatra Fate of Yandi is a traditional point-and-click adventure that tells the story of Yandi, a logging worker who gets caught up in a terrible landslide, leaving him lost and alone deep in the jungle. Join him on his quest to find his best friend and co-worker and return home to his beloved partner. Cole, tell us about Sumatra Fate of Yandi.
I got stuck in the mud and a tiger made a swipe at me.
Then what happened? Did you pee yourself?
No, I figured out how to solve the puzzle, and then I got by. So it was fine. to be fair, Smotch's puzzles, they're not over the top or unusual or weird in any kind of way. The most difficult it was to actually just find the item that I knew I needed in somewhere in the scene. It is a point and click, and that's about the extent of it. You find things. I would just kind of sit and run my cursor over the screen until things popped up that I could touch. There's not a whole lot of them. There's no, like, oh, you can just kind of touch things to get a little extra story or anything, or maybe trigger a weird dialogue. None of that really happens. You can either touch it and take it, or you can't touch it. Well, it's very basic for a point and click, which is a little disappointing, but also not the end of the world.
Actually, I can kind of go for a stripped down point and click that isn't not, just filled with like 400 jokes before you can leave a room, because I'm the guy that if there's 20 things to click on in a room, I'm going to click on all 20 things.
Yeah, I do too, but I just like to see what happens. Yeah. Which kind of then left me, you know, a little disillusioned, because I was like, there's not shit to click. It told me it was a point and click. I'm pointing. Where's the clicking? But I mean, that just boils down to a gameplay preference. And I don't think in any way that it does it make the game bad or anything, that it doesn't have extra stuff. It's just that I like to click on shiny objects because I have shiny object syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I'm unapologetic about it. The game being kind of basic, it's a bit it in a nutshell, though. Like, it doesn't go over the top in any one way or another. It's neither bad nor good. Like, you don't go, oh, this was an incredible point and click, but you don't go, oh, it was a horrible point and click. You know, you're a happy medium with Sumatra. And sometimes that's just what you need. You're
just like, especially because it's only fine. A $7 game.
Yeah. Like, there's absolutely a realm of where you're playing a game and you just kind of want to go, yeah, it's fine. You know? And I think Sumatra fits into that, yeah, it's fine kind of realm. It's great. It's good. It's just, yeah.
How long of a game?
It's not that long.
No. So it's a good palate cleanser, too.
Yeah. Sometimes there's just games that are just, you're like, yeah, okay, I played it for like an hour and it's fine and it's great and go.
And well, it's a rattle like easy achievements.
No, I don't remember the achievement list that well.
Oh.
It's been a rough week, but I'm sure it probably wasn't bad. There's not a lot of options, to be honest. I think I remember getting one for feeding a bird to a tiger and for petting a dog. And
well, as long as you get one for petting a dog, I'm good.
You do get one for petting the dog. Come to think of it, you can pet the dog in Signs of the Sojourner, and you can pet the dog in Hunting Simulator 2. And we're on a good streak this week with petting dogs.
Petting dogs and card games and good games in general, and it sounds like Sumatra is another pretty solid one. So for $6.99 on Sumatra, what do you say?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can roll the fuck it. Why not? It was just that happy medium. Like, it's one of those, sometimes you just need a mindless point and click, right?
Yeah.
And there it is.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good week. Good Yay. Week. Good games. That is it for this episode. Holy shit. Made it through another one. I'm fucking 40 now. So when I started this episode, I was 39. Now I'm ancient.
How does it feel to be 40?
Feels the fucking same. That sounds about right. It was just another day for me. The best part of it was Ashley surprised me with some Carvel ice cream cake. And
what a good bean.
Yeah. And it has the chocolate crunchies in the middle, which is all I care about.
Extra good bean.
Yeah. So I am going to finish up this episode with you and go have some fucking ice cream cake. How does that sound?
Enjoy your cake. Have a piece for me.
No, I'm going to have it for me only.
You bastard.
Not even in spirit, I'm not sharing this cake. This is my goddamn cake.
What a though. It's so crunchy.
Okay, I'll share it in spirit.
Fuck yeah!